This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run. Fires down the middle. It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White. He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there. McCoy, much to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
We go right from Sabres hockey to Buffalo Bills football. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy, my broadcast partner, Donald Jones, on this Tuesday afternoon. We're back, Donald, after giving way to the hockey guys yesterday.
Yeah, it's good to be back. I've been gone for a little while, so.
Yeah. That's right. You were out Thursday, Friday.
I was out Thursday, Friday, so I had a nice
good weekend.
No.
What? What happened?
I mean, you know, sick people at home.
Oh, yeah.
Kids sick, so it was just it was a rough one.
Well, are you glad?
One of them to the hospital. It was pretty long weekend.
We didn't talk about this. Is everything okay?
Everything is a lot better now, but this whole, like, well, they didn't have the flu, but, I mean, it was close. So
I did not know that.
All of this sickness that's going around, especially with kids and daycares and all that stuff, is just like, ugh. Then I started to feel sick, and I'm like, come on, man, this is not this is not what's up right here.
I'm starting to feel better, I guess. I've had a cold now for almost a month, 4 weeks. It'll be a month this Friday, I think. Just hacking and coughing, and I spent the whole weekend doing that. But we were off yesterday, as it was trade deadline day in the NHL. And then the boys, the instigators, Marty and Rives and Petey, did a good job with Jason Botterill, the GM of the Sabres.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting listening. If you heard that, I thought it was pretty good.
You know, they don't. Those guys are hilarious, number one.
Yeah.
They don't get to speak to, like, Botterill that often. So it was good to see them actually speak to him and hear what he had to say. Because I don't really listen to hockey. I don't pay attention to hockey that often. So I don't really hear him talk that often. You know, so it was good to hear him speak.
It was good. And we congratulate them on that. Now we pick it up and start, talking about football over the next 3 hours. Donald and I here today. As soon as the show's over, we hop in the car. We're driving to Indianapolis, Indiana, and getting ready to do three shows at the NFL Scouting Combine starting tomorrow, noon to 3, Wednesday, noon to 3, Thursday, noon to 3, Friday. We're going to have our site set up in the in Media Center, the Radio Row at the NFL Scouting Combine. We've been there a couple of years. Were you there 2 years ago with us? No, you were not.
Nope,
just last year.
Okay. Last year,
so it'll be your second
in the broadcast.
Yep.
Arena.
Third
or
is,
industry.
Is third appearance.
Third appearance overall. To Indianapolis. Well, I played there, so I've been in the stadium a few times. But in terms of this combine, yeah, this is my third appearance there.
I've been there a dozen or more times. So, scouting combine tomorrow. Good guests being lined up from, the media from all over the NFL is there. We'll hear from some of draft prospects. We'll hear from some of the decision makers. And tomorrow's show, we'll hear specifically from Bills GM Brandon Bean and Bills head coach Sean McDermott. That's coming up tomorrow. They will meet with the media in Indy tomorrow morning and then sit down with us on the show. Scouting combine coverage coming up tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, here on our show. The biggest thing that you and I are looking at right now is the drive, the 7.5 hour drive.
Yes.
As soon as our show's over.
As soon as our show's over, we're jumping in the car and we're driving. We have a planned pit stop.
Do we?
I don't know. We had this whole ordeal last year at Chick-fil-A, and it's only right if we stop at the same one. The problem is I don't remember where that exact one is.
I don't either.
But, yeah, you know, hopefully we'll stop somewhere. We'll have to.
Yeah. And we'll be there late tonight and get ready to go tomorrow morning at noon.
Last year's drive was interesting, though. I mean, we drove through a tornado.
Yeah, we did. Remember. I forgot about that.
It was a tornado. It was tornadoes in Indianapolis.
You were driving.
I was driving. Yeah, it was clear until I took over.
That's right.
As soon as I took over, it just was like, uh-oh, it's getting ugly here.
Yeah.
To the point where I wanted to turn around.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, so hopefully we don't have to deal with any of that stuff.
So, yeah, we'll be in the car today, on the air tomorrow. Talking about the combine today, our guest lineup today, pretty good, by the way. Coming up at 1 o'clock, we're going to talk with Wayne Cook, former quarterback at UCLA, sideline reporter for the UCLA Bruins radio network. We're going to talk with him about, who do you think, Josh Rosen, quarterback, first-round pick, likely coming up in a couple of weeks at the combine or at the NFL draft, about 2 months away. We'll talk with Wayne Cook about his man, Josh Rosen, coming up at 1 o'clock. Coming up at 2:15, Andrew Brandt from mmqb.si.com on the business of football. the offseason is pretty much all about money. We'll talk with Andrew Brand about that. And you're welcome to join us and phone in your comments and questions for those two. That's what's coming up on the show today. A lot of discussion on the show today. The Bills have made moves over the last, well, since we've been on the air last Friday. Yesterday, Vontae Davis agreeing to terms on a one-year deal with the Bills, the veteran cornerback. He announced it in a tweet Monday night. He visited several teams over the last few weeks: Buffalo, San Francisco, Cleveland, Oakland, Miami. He was medically cleared earlier this month. He had core injury surgery performed late last season. But the Bills won out in Vontae Davis. 9 seasons in the NFL, 2 Pro Bowl appearances. He is a 29-year-old, released by the Colts November 9th. He had a little dust-up with the Colts last year when before he was released. He was looking for additional medical opinions and decided to have season-ending surgery. The Colts said that they would keep him away from their trip to Houston on in Week 9. They said the decision was not related to injury. Davis said he felt disrespected by the Colts when they left him behind. He had not played well last year, still dealing with a groin injury he suffered against Pittsburgh. And so they let him go, cut him last November 9th. He's been out there. And he could sign now. I mean, free agency is still 2 weeks away, 2 weeks from tomorrow. But he could sign now because he was on the street mm-hmm. free agent, Vontae Davis. So he is now a Buffalo Bill. First-round pick of the Dolphins back in 2009, 25th overall. 9 seasons, 2 Pro Bowls in his career, 22 interceptions, 3 forced fumble. Vontae Davis is a player, starting caliber corner in this league, and maybe a good fit for this Buffalo defensive backfield, Donald.
Yeah, I think he's a good fit. In terms of his style of play, he's kind of been in two systems. He's been in one where it's a lot of man-to-man. He's been in one where it's more zone out there in Indianapolis, right? So I think he's going to really fit in. He's a very good character guy from that family, he and his brother Vernon Davis. I know those guys run multiple businesses together and separate. They're big time in real estate. I've seen Vontae on HGTV doing his whole real estate thing down in Miami. So, he fits into the locker room. I had a good chance to speak to one of the Bills players about him earlier today, who talked about his character. And so it just goes to show they are serious about good character guys.
Now, what does this mean, do you believe, for E.J. Gaines, who has finished off his one-year deal with the Bills, acquired in the trade for Sammy Watkins last year, played in 11 games last year, 8 wins, 3 losses. Seemed to be a good fit, but, you know, the numbers out there, and our friends at SpotTrack, Mike Jannetty said he was going to command $9 million per year on a new deal. Is this the end for E.J. Gaines and the Buffalo Bills, would you think?
I think it is. I think this is the end for E.J. I think he's going to command so much money and you know, he's going to end up somewhere else. I don't think the Bills want to get into that $9 million range with E.J. Gaines, as good and as important as he was to this defense last year. I think they want to put that money more on the front end of the defense, and that's the defensive line and the linebacker positions. And so you can get a guy like Vontae in. I'm not sure the terms of his contract, but if you can get him in here on a one-year deal, which you'd imagine would have to be $3 million, something like that, $4 million, because he was coming off of an injury, hasn't really played that well in the last couple of seasons, but you feel like he still has juice left in the tank, that would make a lot more sense than to give E.J. Gaines $9 million a year. I think this is the end for E.J. Gaines. I think Vontae would be a good addition on the other side of Tre'Davious, and I think they'll end up drafting one.
At age 29, Vontae Davis, 29 years old, how many more years of effective play for him? So he's got this one-year deal. The Bills will evaluate after that.
Yeah.
But what are we talking about, 2 or 3 more years?
Two
after
or three.
That,
yeah, I would say 2 or 3 of effective play at the cornerback position. Maybe then you could switch him to – he has good enough size. Maybe then you could switch him to safety or something like that. But I think right now, depending on if he can stay healthy, he has 2 or 3 years left.
So Vontae Davis signed his contract this morning. He is a Buffalo Bill cornerback, and nice pickup by the Bills there. There is more free agent news for the Bills. They had free agent running back Chris Ivory in for a visit yesterday and today. Ian Rappaport of NFL Media said Ivory was planning to visit with other teams. He was just released by the Jacksonville Jaguars last week. He'll turn 30 in March. Powerful physical runner. 6 foot, 224 pounder. By the end of the year, he wasn't getting much playing time with Jacksonville. By the time the Bills played him in the playoffs, he didn't get much playing time at all. But he's got, you know, he's got a history and maybe a potential backup to Shady McCoy. Chris Ivory reportedly visiting with the Buffalo Bills. That would be an interesting pickup for the backup running back spot, I would think, Donald.
Yeah, that is a very good compliment to LeSean McCoy. And I know last year you had Tolbert, who was primarily the compliment to LeSean McCoy. Chris Ivory has been a guy who has been, dangerous in his career, a pounding, physical pounding running back who has enough speed to really take it to the house at any given time. He's had some good games against the Bills. I remember 2 years ago when the Jaguars came here to play against the Bills, he was playing very, very well, and then he got hurt, and that was when the Bills really took over that game. But I like that. If they're able to bring him in here, I like that as a compliment to LeSean McCoy, and I still think you draft one.
Okay, so that's what the Bills have done, even 2 weeks before the start of free agency and 2 months before the draft. They've added a cornerback, and they're talking with a veteran running back, which takes us to our Twitter poll today. It's a pretty basic question. The Bills have signed Vontae Davis, the corner, and reportedly have hosted veteran running back Chris Ivory. Do you like the team's early approach to free agency so far? Right now, 96% of you say, yeah, what's not to like? 4% say, nope, don't like it. Give us your thoughts on that, and whether or not it's yes or no, just what you think of the Bills' approach so far, being pretty active when you think about it. Pretty active to go out and get Vontae Davis, to court Chris Ivory, not to wait for free agency to begin in 2 weeks, not to wait for the draft to begin in 2 months, but getting out there and getting players, guys who can play in this league, Vontae Davis and Chris Ivory they're talking with. What do you think of that approach? How do you think it, what do you think the next move should be for the Buffalo Bills, rather in free agency or the draft? Give us a call. The phone line's open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Vote in our Twitter poll, or just give us your thoughts. A couple of tweets already. Chad Edwards says, yes, he likes it. This is refreshing, knowing guys are going to sign with the Bills with the new men in charge. Luke Federici says, like Davis, not Ivory. Think they should re-sign Travaris Cadet. Really like what he did when Shady was out. I know his injury is going to affect them bringing him back. Yeah, I mean, that's the issue with Travaris Cadet. We've seen him around here still on the cart, you know. Mm-hmm. He can't – the last I saw him, maybe 2 weeks ago, he can't even put any weight on his leg. So.
Yeah, so you have to wonder when he'll be back. That's something that I'm sure they're going to look into, and the medical staff probably has an idea of when he'll be able to be back to 100%. And that's something that's going to factor into whether he's here or not. I think he's a good player to keep around, though. If you feel like he could be ready for training camp, yeah, I think he's a good player to keep around, even if it's just for training camp. Let him show what he has to really offer you for a spot on this team once you get into the season. Just because he was looking to be a very good running back, a good complement to LeSean McCoy, a kid who can catch it out of the backfield. He can run in between the tackles. He can run inside. And when you have someone who can do all of those things, I think that's a good person to have in training camp and possibly for the season.
Do you like the Bills' approach, what they've done so far as they rebuild their roster through a couple of one free agent signing, Vontae Davis, the corner, and interest shown in the running back, Chris Ivory? Let us know what you think. 803-0550. Lines are open right now. If you're calling from outside Buffalo, it's a toll-free call at 1-888-550-2550, or you can do it on Twitter at John Murphy Show. A couple of other tweets on this. Josh Fitzpatrick tweets in, yes, like what they're doing. I'm glad Donald brought up Vontae as a possible fit a couple of weeks ago. I totally agreed. Adding good talent at an affordable price is part of the process. Zachary El Sharif, when we asked, do you like what the Bills have done or not like it, he says, who cares? Not a quarterback. I don't. There's not a quarterback available to sign right now anyway.
Right, exactly.
Who's available? Manziel? There will be quarterbacks available starting March 14th, and we'll talk about some of the names that might be out there, and maybe some interesting names.
Yeah,
but I think it's interesting how the Bills have, obviously they've had a plan in place, and they're starting to execute the plan with the cornerback Vontae Davis, with talking to Chris Ivory. You better believe they've got a plan for a quarterback. They just can't do anything about it right now. I think certainly they're going to have a plan for a quarterback.
A quarterback is not the entire team. I understand it's a very important position. It's the most important position to have solidified on your roster, but that's not the entire team, and you have to have a bigger picture mentality with this thing. We have to be able to bring in other guys to help out the quarterback, and that's on offense and defense. You got to have a solid defense, you got to have a solid offense, running backs, wide receivers, whatever the case may be, and then once you get the quarterback, that's kind of like the final piece to the puzzle.
We're on the eve of the combine. We'll talk with head coach Sean McDermott and GM Brandon Bean tomorrow about many of these issues, including the quarterback, their thoughts on the rookie quarterbacks. But let's get your thoughts. What do you think of the Bills' move so far? Do you like their early approach, signing Vontae Davis, bringing in Chris Ivory? What do you have in mind for them moving forward? Give us a call, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-552-550. A tweet from Bills backers KC. He says, I'm curious what the money was. I am too with Vontae Davis. But he says, yes, I like the move and hope to see us fill more roster depth with quality veterans. Can't wait to fly up for the opener, hopefully the home opener. I don't know what the money is for Vontae Davis. I think it's going to be manageable anyway, Donald. He had some options. It probably won't be veteran minimum, but he did make a trip around the league and looked at some other teams, and the Bills went out. I would think the Bills' money and the opportunity to start was probably what decided it for Vontae Davis, huh?
Yeah, those are the main two things. I mean, do I have an opportunity to come in here and really start? That's something that a free agent is going to ask a team, especially when you're somebody like Vontae who's trying to get back on the right side, because so many people will look at Vontae and say, well, he hasn't really been a good player in the last 2 years. He's had some injuries. He had that whole situation in Indianapolis. Does he still have it? Is he still the same player out there on the field? So when he goes into any building, he wants to know, okay, do I have an opportunity to go in there and really prove to any doubters that might be out there, and that's fans or any other teams that might want me, you know? And so I think that was something that really went into the decision. And then the money. And I'm sure, Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean, and the fact that this team went to the playoffs last year is something that he looked at as well, because you look at a team like San Fran, who you said was a team that he took a visit to. I mean, that's a team that a lot of free agents would say, man, if I have an opportunity to just play out in San Fran, that's a team that looks like it's going to be good for some years to come with Jimmy Garoppolo at the helm at quarterback position. So a lot of free agents might decide to go there. But the fact that he decided to come here shows you that he has an opportunity to play here. The money became a factor, which I think is manageable. I think it's only going to be a couple million since they gave him a one-year deal. If it was more than a couple million dollars, they might have tried to spread that out over 2 years to make it more manageable, right? So I think it's only going to be a couple million, and I think that he's going to get an opportunity to start here.
Davis turns 30 years old on May 27th this year around Memorial Day. He is a native of the Washington, D.C. area, mm-hmm. plays college football in Illinois. And as we said, first 3 years of his career in Miami with the Dolphins, then he spent 6 years with the Indianapolis Colts, two-time Pro Bowl performer with the Colts, and now he's a Buffalo Bill. Vontae Davis signs on with the Buffalo Bills. Your thoughts on that signing, on the Bills' move so far, the fact that they brought in the running back for a chat? Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. All right, quarterback news. Donald, there's always quarterback news, right? That's the way it is.
Especially right now.
Yeah.
This year is a lot more than normal.
Teddy Bridgewater. Let's talk about free agents first. Teddy Bridgewater expected to hit the open market as a free agent. Ian Rappaport says Bridgewater is expected to be a free agent. Minnesota not planning to assert that there was that thing with whether his 1 year counted or not. Minnesota's not going to challenge that. They're going to let him hit the free agent market. Bridgewater expected to be a free agent, but no decision made yet. So there's that. Case Keenum reportedly will not get the franchise tag. And it looks like Sam Bradford is also expected to be a free agent. So there's the Minnesota Vikings with a chance to hang on to three quarterbacks, all of whom have started in the league, and it appears they're not going to exercise their right to hang on to any of them, which is interesting, isn't it?
It is interesting.
What are they thinking?
Cousins? I think they're thinking Cousins. I think, and I saw this on ESPN, that they really want to get into that Kirk Cousins sweepstakes. And Kirk Cousins might look at that team between the Vikings, if they give him enough money, and then the Broncos, look at those two teams, but especially the Vikings, and say, man, that team was this close to being in the Super Bowl. This close to being in the Super Bowl. So you'd have to believe that. And they have a very strong defense. They have a very good running game, young running game. They have some young receivers on the outside. He might look at that and say, you know what, I like Minnesota. I can go up there and help that team get to the Super Bowl. So I think that's what they're looking at, and they're okay with letting the rest of those guys go, which is I mean, if you want to get into the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes, that's all good. But what about your backup quarterback situation? You know, you're going to let everybody go? I mean, all three of these guys have proven to be good quarterbacks for your team. So That's interesting in itself right there.
Could
but
be
I think
money.
They want to get it. Yeah.
You know, how much do we want to pay our backup? Maybe, you know, mm-hmm. And maybe they bring him back as a free agent too. They're not
they could, yeah.
totally walking away. But those are three now that you would think could be available for the Buffalo Bills. Bridgewater, Keenum, and Sam Bradford. I don't know. Keenum, I guess, would be the number one guy of that group just because of the way he finished his season, and he's 29. Bradford has had the historic stretch of injury-ruined seasons. Teddy Bridgewater, big question mark coming off his injury. Any of those three interest you for the Buffalo Bills for a free agent quarterback signing here, Donald?
Whew.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy because
Keenum would be the one,
yeah,
I would
Keenum
say.
Would be the one, but that's based off of one season.
Right.
You know, and I think they had a very strong defense. They had weapons on the outside. They had a very strong running game, right? And I think he just was the last piece of that puzzle. And he was able to kind of just be himself and play football because he had so a very good team around him, you know? So I don't know if you bring Case Keenum in here and say, yeah, Case Keenum is that guy. And Case Keenum is probably looking at it right now saying, I want to get paid. I want to go somewhere and get paid right now. So you bring in Case Keenum, I think you're giving him a Tyrod Taylor type of contract. Like 1 year, well, it's a multiple year deal that's really a 1 year deal, and prove it. And if you really prove it to us, then we'll go ahead and pick up that option and keep you long term.
Case Keenum likely to be available. Sam Bradford, you think the Bills should have interest in him?
No.
Think about him.
What, no. I mean, on. he has a lot of talent, but he just has not been able to stay healthy throughout his career at the quarterback position. And quarterbacks don't get hurt that often, so it's like, dude, how many quarterbacks can you think of that you would see get hurt so often? I mean, he's playing a running back position or wide receiver or something like that, you know? So I'd rather just stay away from Sam Bradford.
And Bridgewater?
Bridgewater, it really comes down to if the medical team feels like he's healthy. If they feel like he's healthy, I'm okay with Teddy Bridgewater. I liked what I saw out of him. Now, it's been, 2 years now
yeah.
since he's played? But before that injury, I liked what I was seeing from Teddy Bridgewater. And I remember him coming out of college – and I kept saying, man, this dude is good. And then he had the pro day, which didn't go well. He was off the mark. But then once he got drafted, he started to look like he was going to be the franchise quarterback out in Minnesota. I wouldn't have a problem with bringing him here on a one-year prove-it type of deal and then drafting one. And if Bridgewater shows you that he can really give you something, then you have two quarterbacks for the next few years.
It looks like, and we've been talking about this for weeks, the quarterback – Derby that everybody's involved in, seven or eight teams. It looks like Kirk Cousins is going to be the blue chip.
Oh,
the one
yeah.
thing that will get this thing going is wherever Kirk Cousins, whoever he winds up signing with.
Yeah, wherever he winds up signing with, he's going to get everything going. He's going to set the market. Well, Jimmy Garoppolo set the market.
Right.
But Kirk Cousins now he's going to set it probably $1 million higher than Jimmy Garoppolo got or something like that per year. The rest of those guys don't really warrant that type of money. So the market really doesn't even matter for the rest of those guys. A.J. McCarron might be the second one, I would think. I'm not really sure, but I think A.J. McCarron is going to be sought after just based
second
off.
Second to sign or second in?
I'm talking about sought after.
Yeah.
You know, just the number two. Yeah, in payment.
Okay.
I think Case Keenum will be up there as well. I'm interested to see if teams really believe in him or if they're like, you got to show us one more year,
yeah.
and then we'll give you something. But those three will be the top guys.
You know, we all expect that the Saints are going to get Drew Brees under contract.
Yeah.
But here we are 2 weeks away, and they don't have him under contract.
They don't have him under
Should
contract.
Should we pay attention to that? Or
I can't
He's
see
not
Drew Brees leaving.
Market, right? No.
I can't. I mean, I think they're really in some negotiations that are taking some time. But I can't see him leaving that team. I mean, that's a team that was really good. They should have beat the Vikings.
Yeah.
You know, they lost on a fluke. Yeah, I thought they were a Super Bowl team that could beat the Patriots. Now, obviously, the Eagles end up going and beating the Patriots. But when we saw them here in Buffalo, it was like, man, that team is good. And I can't see him walking away from that team to go anywhere else. A team that he's done so much for that community, been so instrumental in that organization. I just can't see him walking away, you know. And it's not like he's really hurting for the money. Obviously, he wants to have a comparable contract to whomever. But I just can't see him walking away from New Orleans. He has a family there. I can't see him up and leaving right now.
Let us know what you think about the quarterback situation with the news today that the Vikings are not going to really keep any of their three. At least they're going to let them explore the market. Those three, Case Keenum and Teddy Bridgewater and it appears Bradford. They're all going to explore the market. Let us know what you think about the quarterback picture, how it looks today. As we said, Drew Brees still a free agent with free agency 2 weeks away. Kirk Cousins going to be the big prize, you would think. There are others, Josh McCown, Matt Moore, Chase Daniel, Drew Stanton, A.J. McCarron. How do you think that shapes out for the Buffalo Bills? Any names there interest you? And the Bills have done their job even before free agency with the announcement that Vontae Davis has agreed to terms on a one-year contract with the Bills. Free agent cornerback signs a one-year deal with the Bills. And they also are talking with the running back who's in here today, Chris Ivory from Jacksonville.
Matt Moore, does that name for a bridge type of quarterback?
Yeah, no. No? 2 years ago I would have said yeah, but yeah. I mean, just the way he has played and he's had a chance to play for the Dolphins the last couple of years, I have not been impressed. I thought he was good a couple of years ago. I thought
it was like, man, this dude is all right when he had to come in and for relief, but
I think he's a decent backup. I think that's it for him.
And that's the biggest thing. I mean, what are the Bills looking for right now? Are they looking for just a true bridge quarterback, or are you looking for a guy that can start for you for the next – I mean, in a perfect world, you want a guy who can start for the next 10 years. But how many of those guys on that list could you say, yeah, he's our starter for the next 10 years? You have to believe that this team is going to draft one at some point high in the draft, right? Yeah. That guy is going to be your starter or your franchise. Hopefully that guy will be your franchise quarterback. So the rest of those names is like, okay, it's a bridge quarterback. We know in a normal world, this guy is probably a backup.
Right. And I think that's where you look at the draft, and there's some news on the draft quarterbacks as well. Give us your thoughts, though, on what the Bills have done so far. Nothing on quarterbacks, but certainly they're interested. A couple of tweets on this. Chris Gabry's tweets, and Case Keenum would be a good fit in Buffalo, but not at the price. You think a reasonable deal can be made, and what is that price? I don't know what that price is. I think they got to wait and see what the price is for Kirk Cousins. Pete03 tweets in, good signing, talking about Vontae Davis. Secondary will improve the D-line, pass rush, and sacks. The Bills signing Vontae Davis, they've hosted veteran running back Chris Ivory. What do you think of those moves? Nick Blake tweets in, I like the Davis signing and the fact the front office sees a need behind Shady. So far, so good. And Braden tweets in, Nick Foles, ? That would be a trade. And I don't know that anybody's willing to offer what the Eagles are going to need in a trade for Nick Foles. The quarterback picture not cleared up yet, but slowly things are beginning to take shape, and we're a couple of weeks away from free agency. We'll talk more about that and talk about some of the quarterbacks available in the draft. Some of them aren't going to throw at the combine this week. We'll talk about that when we come back. John Murphy, Donald Jones, just getting rolling here from One Bills Drive. It is the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We are live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
The offseason taking shape for the Buffalo Bills. Combine starts tomorrow. We'll be there. Donald and I will be there. Going to hit the road tonight, drive down to Indy. I've got people sending me suggestions on which Chick-fil-A to stop at on the way. I guess we have to stop at Chick-fil-A now. That's part of the...
Yeah, it's tradition.
Yeah.
It started last year with getting pulled over.
which Chick-fil-A will be our stop. But we'll be down there tomorrow. We'll have coverage from the Combine for you starting tomorrow. Phone lines are open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Our Twitter poll today deals with the Vontae Davis signing, the fact that the Bills have brought in the running back Chris Ivory. What do you think of these moves? Do you like the Bills' early approach to free agency? On Twitter, most of you say yes, a wide majority of you. Give us a call and let us know what you think on the telephone lines, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. When I saw Chris Ivory barely get playing time at the end of the year for Jacksonville, I thought, end of the line. But what do you think?
I'm not sure if it's the end of the line for Chris Ivory. And the reports are that He visited here yesterday. Today he's with the Browns. Now, the Browns could lose Isaiah Crowell to free agency, which will be interesting. I think Chris Ivory is looking at it and saying, I think I still got enough in the tank to be a starter in this league. And most players look at it like that. I can still start in this league. But I think he showed enough for even to himself that he truly feels like that. So you have to wonder if that's what's in his mind. I want to start somewhere, and maybe the Browns are the team that will give him that opportunity. You know he's not going to start here. He's going to be a backup here. If he signs here, he has to know I'm going to be a backup, and I'm sure they will be transparent when telling him that.
So that might mean if he's going to sign here, it's not likely to happen soon if he believes he's a starter.
Right, exactly.
And he would want to wait and see what's out there.
Right.
You think he's capable of carrying the workload for a team and being their starting back?
I don't think he's capable of carrying the workload, but I know how players think. I know players believe in themselves and their families are telling them, hey, man, you could be a starter in this league. You don't need to be backing up anybody in this league. And so, and even your agent, you know, your agent is gassing you, trying to give you all types of high praise. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what any of those people are telling you. It matters what the teams think, what yourself think. I know I'm a starter in this league. Well, the teams don't look at you as a starter, but I could see him actually trying to wait this thing out just to see what's going to happen. It might even be beyond the draft.
We talked a few minutes ago, Donald, about quarterbacks, what the Bills do at quarterback. There doesn't appear to be any move they can make right now when it comes to quarterbacks. But they do have their eye on the quarterback prospects in the combine this week, including Sam Darnold from USC. Darnold is not going to throw at the combine this week. He made that announcement today. He, Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, said that Darnold has chosen to focus on athletic testing and interviews. He's fully healthy. There's nothing wrong with him. The quarterbacks arrive at the combine tomorrow. Their on-field workouts are Saturday. They spend time undergoing medical exams, measurements, psychological testing. They do interviews with teams that might be interesting. But Sam Darnold, who in some mock drafts is the number one pick overall to Cleveland, Sam Darnold decides not to throw. Most quarterbacks recently, and I mean the last 5 years, have thrown.
What's your thoughts on that?
I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
I don't think – I guess I understand that the thinking is – well, what do I have to gain? I've got all this tape. Everybody's seen my tape. There's nothing I can do on the field in these workouts in Indy that would enhance my status. I get that. But not throwing, I think, sends a bad message. Like, I don't need this. I've proven everything I have to prove. And I think teams would like to see a player, especially a quarterback, be a little bit more proactive. Like, yeah. Hey, look at me. Look at me. This is who I am.
At the end of the day, the teams are so thirsty for quarterbacks. If he goes out there and kills his pro day, which we know the pro days are scripted, to where a lot of times these guys know the throws, they're throwing to their receivers, stuff like that, which, I mean, I don't like that thought process. Now, people will say, well, that's along the same lines of players saying they don't want to play in their bowl games. And for me, I get that decision more than deciding not to throw at the NFL combine, you know, because the bowl games or something, a lot of those bowl games don't really mean anything, especially if you're a higher draft pick and you truly are making a business decision because you don't want to get hurt in that game. In terms of throwing at the combine, what are you going to go out there and throw your arm out? I mean, what are we talking about right now? You're going to just overthrow guys? And that's my thing. If you have the confidence in yourself, if you truly love to play this game, all you're doing is going out there pitch and catch, which is something you've been doing since you started playing little league, Pop Warner football. You know, so go to the combine and throw. I don't like the decision of, oh, I'm just not going to throw because I want to wait until my pro day. If you have an arm issue or something like that, that's totally different. But just deciding I don't want to throw, I bet you that was his agent that said, you probably should wait until the combine. And he's like, oh, yeah, you're right, I should wait
until his pro day.
I mean, to the pro day.
Why would an agent tell that? Why would he tell them that?
Because agents are idiots.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, they are. A lot of the times they're advising guys, oh, you probably shouldn't throw. They'll ask you, you think you're ready? And if the player says, well, yeah, I might have been a little bit off or something like that, you probably shouldn't throw at the combine. You should just throw at your pro day. It's like, come on, man. These dudes are at they have a prime time, which is, and everybody's going to be at his pro day anyway, but still, at the NFL combine, that is the prime time for you to showcase to the entire NFL community, fans, coaches, owners, scouts, everybody. I love this game, and I'm here to play it. I bet you Baker Mayfield will throw.
Yeah, so far we think the rest of them are throwing. You know, a week ago at this time, I think you were here, I was talking about Darnold as my pick of the top four. Now, I don't know. This is the type of thing that gets you thinking, well, you know, where is his head at?
Why would he
not throw at the combine? Pretty simple.
His head is, I want to get to where I'm comfortable. And that's not the NFL. You're not comfortable in the league. When you get here or wherever you're going to end up in the NFL, you're not going to be comfortable when you first get there. You got to get used to it. And to be honest with you, they're doing this to actually make you uncomfortable. The entire NFL combine is to make you as a player uncomfortable, get you out of your normal setting, get you in all of these different tests and do all of this stuff to see how you react to it. And you're reacting in a negative way.
Quarterbacks are going to be the big show in Indy this week at the Combine. We'll talk about it all this week. Mike Mayock from the NFL Network has done his homework, and he did a conference call yesterday, Mike Mayock of NFL.com, and NFL networks, talking about quarterbacks a lot. He was asked about Josh Rosen, the UCLA quarterback, who's had some questions about his approach, personality-based questions about Josh Rosen. He was asked, how much are teams concerned about Rosen in that way, and what sort of an impact does that have on Rosen as a potential early first-round draft pick, with some teams maybe having questions about his personality? Here's what Mike Mayock had to say.
I think what's critical at the quarterback position is that you get to know the kid as well as you can. I even find from my own evaluation perspective, when I get to know a quarterback, I do a much better job. You know, I jumped on the table with both feet with Carson Wentz because I got to know the kid. And when I've missed on quarterback, a lot of times it's been because I never met the kid, never had a feel for him. And I think to take it to a much further extreme, the NFL teams have to get to know these kids. What makes them tick? What kind of passion do they have for the game? What's their work ethic? How are they raising the level of play with people around them? Are they natural leaders? Are they the face of your program? All of those things are critical. And when you take a kid like Rosen, I've never met him yet. I've watched his tape. I've formed an opinion based on his tape. The next step for me, and I think what the NFL teams are doing a better job at, is spending time with these kids and getting to know them. And he's from what I've been told, he's a very intelligent kid, so that's not an issue. He can process information. He's really good understanding a playbook. I think what they want to get to know is, what's his passion for the game? Does he love it? You know, is he committed for the next 10 years to be the best he can be? Or is he going to be content with just being a pretty good player and hanging out? And it's nowhere more important in the NFL than it is at the quarterback position to find out what makes the kid tick. And I think with Josh Rosen, no different than any of the other guys, they're going to dig deep.
That is Mike Mayock, NFL Network draft expert, talking about Josh Rosen. And, you know, he's kind of where I am, Donald. I'm impressed. You got to be impressed by Josh Rosen, what you see on tape. And I'm sure Bills and other team scouts are impressed by what they see on tape from Josh Rosen. But now is the time when they kind of look behind it, as Mike Mayock said. Now is the time when they talk to him. Now is the time when they talk to people around him. About, they'll get their 15 minutes with him, you would think, at the combine. But then they'll spend time and maybe get him in here for one of their top 30 visits and spend a little time with him. See, you know, you've heard the stories. You heard about a little bit about his personality and how he acts, and maybe you want to know a little bit more. From now, for the next 2 months, I would think that would be job one for the Bills scouts and other scouts around the league.
Yeah, it's two things at the combine. And we're talking about Darnold not throwing at the combine. You know, the most important two things, especially at the quarterback position, is what Mike Mayock was just talking about. Number one is medical. You got to get a feel for the guy's medical situation. He played at UCLA with a knee brace, so you know something happened in that knee, so that's something they're going to look at. And then you want to get a feel for him and his IQ in terms of football, so you get him up on the board and you have him break different things down. You want to get a feel for his passion, like Mike Mayock was saying, his passion for the game. And they do that for all players. They want to know your passion for the game, but especially the quarterback position, because the quarterbacks get the most praise. They get the most money on the team. And if you're going to be a top five pick, that means you're going to get all types of endorsements and everything really right away. You know, they'll take you out to the event that they have, the rookie premiere out in L.A., things
right.
Like that. So you're going to get the big Nike or whatever contracts. I mean, everything's going to come to you right away. So with all of these different things coming to you, how are you handling being an NFL quarterback? How are you handling being in this playbook? You know, is that what you're really passionate about? Or do you want everything else that really comes with this game and being an NFL quarterback? And so that's what they really want to get a feel for.
Yeah, and as Mayock said, you know, how are they at raising the level of play of the people around them? How are they natural leaders? Are they the face of your program? Those are critical issues. If you're going to move up to the top five picks in the draft to get Josh Rosen, if you're the Buffalo Bills, you need answers to those questions.
Oh,
can this guy be the face of our franchise? Can this guy live and thrive in Buffalo, New York? You know, those are interesting questions and critical questions. Josh Allen regarded as one of the top picks at quarterback in the draft this year, the Wyoming quarterback. He's got the great size, but has the numbers that jump out, not just size numbers, but numbers that jump out in terms of completion percentage. Not very good. What about that? Mike Mayock was asked about that, you know, the inaccuracy, apparent inaccuracy of big Josh Allen from Wyoming. Here's what he said.
I don't really care if he throws it 8 yards over the guy's head. The scouts know that you're not throwing to your receivers. They just want to see the ball come out of your hand and what it looks like. This kid's got a huge arm. Just get out there and rip it. Have some fun. That's all they really want to see is the quarterbacks get out there loose and rip it. Now, the pro day is a different conversation. You know, the pro day is you want to go out there and you want to see, and this is kind of part and parcel of the same question, the accuracy. It does worry me that he was a 56% guy. I mean, I was going through a bunch of stuff a few weeks ago trying to figure out how many college quarterbacks with sub 60% accuracy or completion percentages ended up being significantly better in the NFL. And when you're talking about high-level guys, I mean, I think Matthew Stafford was the only one guy I could find that I think he was 55, 6, 7, somewhere like that at Georgia. And obviously Matthew Stafford's a franchise quarterback.
Mike Mayock, NFL Network draft expert, talking about Josh Allen. But that does get your attention when you see a 56% completion rate for Josh Allen. And I've watched the video. Yeah, you worry about him because he misses so often and misses badly sometimes.
I mean, he said he doesn't care if he overthrows a guy by 10 yards. I care about that.
Yeah.
And it's not just the Senior Bowl. When you watch him on video, from his own receivers, from his own games, he's overthrowing guys. Yeah, he'll have an amazing throw, big, strong arm. You can see all of that stuff. He's big, physical dude. But, I mean, in his own offense, he's overthrowing guys by 8 to 10 yards. And so that is something that worries you. So then when you come to the Senior Bowl and you do the same exact thing, well, that's not just about you not being with your receivers.
No, that's who you are.
Yeah, that is who you are, you know. And I think and having a chance to speak to different scouts and them saying, we didn't see anything different from him at the Senior Bowl that we saw from him on tape throughout his senior season. You know, so, yeah, that's something that I think the scouts are going to look at. Is this dude accurate? Can he consistently hit guys when they're open? And we know guys aren't typically open in this league.
Those kind of questions would prevent me, if not slow me down at least, from making a big move up in the first round to get Josh Allen. The question's about accuracy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd give up draft picks to move up. Where you're probably going to have to move up into the top 10 at least to get a crack at Josh Allen, right? Wouldn't you think?
I would think so, just because.
Top half of the draft?
Top half of the draft of the first round. I would think so because I mean, everybody just drools over his size and his arm strength and all of that stuff. And rightfully so. But I think there will be teams that say, I don't know about that. The offensive coordinators that say, I don't know if I want to. I don't know if quarterback coaches or offensive coordinators feel like you can develop accuracy. How can you develop accuracy? I think that's something that you have.
Yeah.
You know, I think there are other things that you can develop in terms of moving in the pocket and all of that stuff. But there are certain things about being a quarterback that I don't know if you can develop.
One more quarterback that Mike Mayock discussed, and that's Mayfield from Oklahoma. Had the Senior Bowl, spent some time at the Senior Bowl. He's not the statuesque guy you're looking for, 6'6", 6'1". Mike Mayock talked about Baker Mayfield and the Oklahoma quarterback and where he might stand in this group of rookie quarterbacks this year.
His tape is really good. He's close to a 70% completion guy. I'm not too worried about him being 6 feet or 6'1", even though there's a very small percentage of those quarterbacks. I think it really comes down to off the field, face to face, in the meeting rooms with the decision makers, whether or not you're going to buy into his character and him being the face of your franchise. And I think there's some teams that are going to say, no, I see some talent, but it's not my guy. I think there are other teams that are going to go, oh, come on, it's no biggie. There's maybe some emotional competitive immaturity, but outside of that, I'm good. But he still sparks that conversation with every team in the league. So when you say what can he do or not, I think it's less physically and more how he presents and whether or not a team can look him in the eye and say, yeah, That's my guy. That's the face of the future for my franchise. And again, he's a different cup of tea for everybody.
Interesting thoughts on Baker Mayfield, the Oklahoma quarterback. That's Mike Mayock's voice from NFL Network. The 6'6" thing does concern me, Donald.
Yeah, he's one of the most intriguing prospects because he does have the accuracy. He does have the ability. You've seen him actually scan the field and do all of that stuff. Even though he played in a more wide-open offense at Oklahoma, you've seen him actually go through his progressions and things like that. You've seen him play well in big moments against the Georgia defense that was, even though they lost, the Georgia defense was one of the best defenses this year in college football, right? So I think he's very intriguing because of that height and because of his off-the-field immaturity things that people talk about. I mean, he's done some crazy things, and for me, it's more on the passionate side. He just has to be able to tone it down a little bit. But that 6'6" thing is something that I think makes him very intriguing, and teams are really going to pass up on him because of that. Some teams won't really care, and it's going to come down to which teams don't really care. They're going to look at other guys that have been able to do it and guys that haven't been able to do it, and then look at him and really go back and forth once they get into the draft room. Should we take this guy right now or not?
Quarterback picture wide open. We're talking more about it today because Sam Darnold, USC quarterback, has decided he will not throw at the combine later this week. We're headed to the combine later this week as well, starting tomorrow. Going to talk more about quarterbacks. Love to talk with you about it. Wayne Cook, who's on the sidelines for the UCLA radio football broadcast, the former UCLA quarterback. He'll be joining us at 1 o'clock to talk about Josh Rosen out there at UCLA and what his status is. We'll take your phone calls as well. The lines are open, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Vontae Davis, cornerback, has agreed to terms, signed with the Bills today, and they've had in a running back, Chris Ivory. What do you think of those moves? What do you think of the quarterback question? Give us a call. We're back with more in a moment, the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back. John Murphy, Donald Jones here in our One Buffalo studio in Orchard Park. Starting tomorrow, we'll be in a studio, not really a studio, we'll be on Radio Row in Indianapolis at the Convention Center. It'll be us and about 500 other radio shows.
Yes.
No, not really. Maybe about 100 other radio shows.
Yeah, I mean, it's somebody from every team
yeah.
there, and then you have the big network. It's a very interesting place. It was interesting for me being there last year. When I was a player and I went up to Radio Row, I didn't pay attention to all of that stuff that was going on. I was in there for maybe 30 minutes or something like that. I don't remember how long. And then I was back out of there. But being in there last year, every day, sitting in that room, just watching everybody, I was like, wow, this is different.
It's different. It's weird. You know?
Yeah, it is. It's because everybody's walking around. You have everybody's trying to pull, especially the national reporters, everybody's trying to pull them onto their shows. And you know, those guys are really trying to duck and dodge you. Even though they're walking through the room, they're like, oh, I'll get back to you. I'll let you yeah. know. And so it's just it's a weird place.
It is a weird place. Speaking of, I don't know if this is weird, but Chris Ivory with the Bills yesterday, according to Ian Rappaport. Now, Rappaport says he's with the Cleveland Browns today. He says he got another stop to make, too, a former Jaguars running back, Chris Ivory. And he's smart to do it now, Donald. I mean, you know, put yourself out there before there's a bunch of other running backs out on the market in 2 weeks.
I'm telling you. I mean, it is, for me, it's smart to get out there now before there are a bunch of other running backs and before the draft comes around.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's try to get something locked up. Now, I don't know if that's what he'll do, but I would try to get something locked up right now just because you know the running back position. I'm sure, and his agent has to be saying this to him. The running back position, I mean, teams are going to draft these kids later in the draft, and they're going to be players for them. They're not drafting them just for bodies in training camp. They're drafting these kids because the running back position is a position that teams feel like they could get them at any point in the draft. They don't have to pay top dollar to get a running back. So if you're Chris Ivory, it's like, let me put myself out there and lock myself onto a roster right now.
And he's got a couple of weeks to do that. So he visited with the Bills, now visiting with the Browns. Vontae Davis is a Buffalo Bill. That announcement came last night. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to talk about Josh Rosen, the UCLA quarterback, with Wayne Cook, a former UCLA quarterback and now the sideline reporter on the UCLA Bruins radio network. We'll get his thoughts on Josh Rosen when we come back. You can join us as well. The phone line's open, 803-0550, and toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive. The Bills reached agreement last night with cornerback Vontae Davis. He signed his deal today, a one-year contract with the free agent quarterback. He announced his decision last night after visiting several teams over the last several weeks. Davis also made a free agent visit to San Francisco, Cleveland, Oakland, and Miami. He was medically cleared earlier this month following surgery that was performed late last season. The signing of Davis throws into question whether the Bills will actively pursue starting corner E.J. Gaines when he hits the free agent market on October or on March 14th. Bills also yesterday spent some time with free agent running back Chris Ivory, visited with the Buffalo Bills, just released a few days ago by the Jacksonville Jaguars, former Jet Stars, taking a couple of visits, including one today with the Cleveland Browns. Ivory turns 30 years old in March, known as a powerful physical runner, and he visited with the Bills yesterday. USC quarterback Sam Darnold has elected not to throw at the combine later this week. He's one of the top consensus quarterbacks in the group. Says he's decided to focus on athletic testing and interviews instead of throwing drills at the combine this week. Teddy Bridgewater expected to be a free agent, according to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport. Minnesota not planning to assert their four-year deal toll on Bridgewater. Both parties in agreement that Bridgewater will be a free agent. No official decision made yet. The NFL is demanding reimbursement in excess of $2 million from Cowboys owner Jerry Jones for court costs related to Ezekiel Elliott's suspension and his threatened litigation over Roger Goodell's contract. Sabres move on to play at Tampa Bay tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, first game after the trade deadline yesterday. Daniel O'Regan, the newest member of the organization, acquired along with first and fourth round picks, conditional picks, in the 2019 draft from San Jose for Evander Kane at before yesterday's trade deadline. O'Regan was teammates with Jack Eichel and Evan Rodriguez at Boston University. In college basketball, UB home against Akron tonight. St. Bonaventure home against Davidson. Both of them in position to clinch some important home field advantages. Yes, sir.
What do you think of this? Mark Mask of the Washington Post tweeted out, the NFL Competition Committee is discussing the possibility of limiting defensive pass interference penalties to at most 15 yards. So it won't be a spot foul to be 15 yards.
I like it.
Yeah, that spot foul thing is – it changes games. Yeah. Because it's like you just throw it to the one-yard line, you get a pass interference, and it can truly change the game. I think I like it too.
That's the college rule, right?
Yeah, the 15 yards.
Yep. Yeah, I'd like it. I'd like to see that. Well, let's talk more about that because we have a guest on the line right now. Former quarterback at UCLA from 1991 through 1994, now sideline reporter on the Bruins radio network, Wayne Cook joins us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Hi, Wayne. It's John Murphy and Donald Jones here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, anytime, guys. How you doing?
We're doing okay. You've had an up-close and personal look at Josh Rosen for the last couple of years there at UCLA. Is he the best prospect, quarterback prospect, in this year's draft, do you think?
Physically, absolutely. I think that just the way he throws the ball is, you know, as a former QB, guys, I don't often watch a guy throw and just go, wow, that's awesome. There's, you know, the Aaron Rodgers of the world that sometimes throws a ball where you just go, man, that's a great throw. Remember in the old days, Warren Moon, the way he used to spin it was just like, wow. You know, not a lot of guys can spin it like that. Josh rarely throws a duck. I mean, he's got big old mitts. He's great in the pocket. He's got good feet. And he's learning. You know, he's a young man that has so much arm talent, but we would pick on him because he wasn't great with his deep ball, and he'd throw it too flat. He wouldn't let his receivers adjust to it. And by the end of his career at UCLA, even the second half of this last year, we're like, wow, he's finally learned to throw a post to space when there's not a safety out there. And so he just constantly is getting better, and he wants to get better. So as far as arm talent goes, and you guys know this, in the NFL, you kind of have to have that. he's got it, and he's got it as much as any quarterback I've seen in a while.
Why not more wins for Rosen in his UCLA career? Why do you think, Wayne?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that question. And it's again, and I know that you guys know this, and I know Donald knows this. I mean, it's kind of hard to win as a QB if you don't have the right guys around you. And that's not a knock on, you know, well, it is a little bit of a knock on UCLA. I mean, I love my school, but when you can't play defense in the last two seasons, his UCLA's defense has been ranked in the hundreds. Josh has been trying to win. And if you go back and watch the game film, it's basically like if we win, it's because Josh plays great. And usually when we lost, it was because Josh played really well and maybe made a few mistakes because he was trying to win it by himself. And so he did a lot of amazing things when I think sometimes the rest of the team didn't do enough. I mean, if he would have had a good defense, an average defense, UCLA would have won a lot more games when he played.
Is he a quarterback who, and a lot of people say when you're a top two, three, top five, top 10 draft pick, they want you to be the type of quarterback that can lift the play of everyone else around him. Do you feel like he's that type of guy, even though he didn't have the talent that they needed to really win games out there?
Well, this is a little bit of a tricky question because, it's hard because, he's not going to – Josh's reputation when he came out of high school was he was kind of brash. He was – a lot of times people didn't understand him. He's known for being a really intellectual guy, and sometimes that left his people skills. Like, a lot of people didn't understand. He even had some conflict with at the Elite 11 camp when he first came out with Trent Dilfer. And then he went back and worked that camp more recently, and Trent Dilfer actually recanted on a lot of the things that he'd said about Josh earlier and said he was really impressed with how much Josh had grown up. And I saw that, too, as a person that's observed him for 3 years, from his freshman year to his junior year. He grew up. His teammates seemed to like him. So that part of it obviously matters. And I'll tell you this, too. Early in his career, he would throw footballs, and Donald, I know you'll get this, that were so NFL that when guys turn their head around, the ball's on top of them. Mm-hmm. And he throws the ball with the amount of – let's just put it this way. He throws a very firm ball. Sometimes he could work on his touch a little bit. And he would do it in a way to where guys would drop the ball a lot. And it was because they just weren't – the receivers that he was playing with weren't ready for that type of a throw. And the NFL guys will be. So to answer your question, I'm going to say yes, because he's got the arm talent and all receivers – and he spreads the ball around. If you're open, he'll get the ball to you. And if you're just barely open, he's one of the few college quarterbacks that can hit that, you know, that one spot where NFL quarterbacks have to be able to do that, where they can throw you open.
So – is he the type of guy – I know these college offenses are really spread out now. Is he the type of guy that you feel like is pro-ready? I know he has the arm talent and all of that stuff, but what about reading through progressions, taking the ball from under center, different things like that that you will have to do, calling plays in the huddle that you will have to do once you get to the NFL?
Yeah, you know what? Again, he had three different offensive coordinators. Mm-hmm. He started out with Noel Mazzone, which was more of the college-type offense, and then they switched – to a more pro style, and I think that'll benefit him in the NFL, because I think he's dealt with different types, because the NFL is adding some more of the college game, you know, a lot of the RPOs and stuff like that. You're seeing more of that from some of the coaches, but he's able to be under center. I mean, the guy was made for play action, in my opinion. He throws well on the run. He can throw in a phone booth. I mean, we watch two quarterbacks, and I keep telling people this. I go, you know, I'm not knocking mobile quarterbacks. We've had some great mobile quarterbacks in the history of football. But when you watch the Tom Brady's of the world, or even when you watch Nick Foles, there are times when they are absolutely in a phone booth in that pocket. And they're taking like a half a step to the left or to the right. And they're able to get off throws on time and on target. And that's not easy. And I've seen him do that to a fault, to where he will take hits, big hits, to release a ball. And, that shows courage. And I know that all teammates and your linemen, they're going to appreciate that. When you can stand in there and get through your progressions, and again, to get to your question, he can do that. He moves well in the pocket. He's got that quarterback mobility. He's not going to run a lot, but he can move in the pocket, get through his progressions, and stay on time. Like, he keeps his eyes up.
Talking with Wayne Cook, former UCLA quarterback, took the Bruins to the Rose Bowl and 1994, sideline reporter on the UCLA radio network these days. We're talking about Josh Rosen, UCLA quarterback, expected to be one of the first picks in this year's NFL draft. He did have a concussion late last year, yep, and he has had injuries before. Will teams have concerns about his durability and his ability to keep away from injury, do you think?
Yeah, I do. I think that's one thing they're going to look at. Obviously, he made the smart decision, and normally I want players to play, but he had a concussion. His concussion late in the year wasn't the worst thing in the world, but he did have one, and he stayed out. He did not play in our bowl game. He probably could have, but with head injuries, it's always smart to be cautious, and with his future ahead of him, I think it was smart, but. Sometimes I think that toughness that I talked about, he takes a couple of hits that he probably doesn't need to by holding on to the ball, and he wants to stay in there until the last second and be able to deliver. And sometimes I think he needs to maybe get rid of it, throw it away, and avoid those hits.
How is he as a leader, would you say, Wayne? And how did he respond as a leader through, some difficult years here at UCLA?
Josh always played hard. I think to me, I've watched leaders and I've watched people in the media talk about how great of a leader is just because he's yelling at people. Sometimes I think that's cowardly. Anybody can yell at a teammate when they – to me, leadership is how the players respond to you. And so in my opinion, watching Josh over the years, I thought the team responded to him well. I mean, he elevated Jordan Lasley to an elite receiver in the country. He had a tight end, Caleb Wilson, that was the leading tight end in the country before he got hurt. Remember Josh Rosen, two of his top receivers got hurt, with a knee injury and another leg injury that left him without two of his best players for the whole season. So definitely he has leadership abilities. I think it'll be different than what most people think is leadership. But as long as he can get the players around him to rally and play hard, which I think he does, I think he's got enough to be successful.
We talking like Eli Manning different?
man, that's funny. I will say this. If you want to compare Eli Manning and both Mannings for that matter, Josh Rosen throws a much prettier ball than they do. You can't challenge the brain, but man, those Mannings can throw a wobbler that's right on where it's supposed to be. I don't know how they do it. Josh is definitely smart enough. He's a little bit different. So, I would say, I don't know if it's the same as the Mannings, but you can tell that their minds are, they're all pretty darn sharp.
Now, because you're saying he's a little bit different, I've read different things and people are questioning his passion or love for the game of football. In your opinion, is that because he's a little bit different in his leadership style?
Yep, that's exactly why. I don't think he's just a little bit misunderstood. Some of it's his own fault. Sometimes he does and says things that he shouldn't, but he learns from it. He's young. I mean, holy cow, in sports, how many times do we expect our 18, 19, and 20-year-olds to say all the right things at all the right times? And, we know that doesn't always happen. They're still growing up. And so I've seen him mature. I think he has what it takes. I've heard him talk about, and I've witnessed him talk about that he wants to be great. He just doesn't want to be somebody. He wants to be great. And so, as long as he has that desire, I think a lot of quarterbacks and a lot of NFL players, NBA players, they want that paycheck. And when they get that paycheck, I think sometimes the drive kind of leaves them. And the great ones, the money's there, and everybody wants more money. I get that. But it seems to be a product of their drive to be great. They just have that, I want to be as good as anybody that's ever played the game. And if you have that, the rest of it should take care of itself. And so I think Josh really, truly wants to be great.
Hey, Wayne, Josh Rosen played across town from another potential first-round quarterback, Sam Darnold. Tell me about that comparison and, I guess, the rivalry between those two. They play each other, the last couple of years. Who got the better of whom in those matchups?
Well, I mean, and again, it kills me to say this, but Sam played on, better teams.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold struggled a little bit this last year after losing. I mean, he lost Juju Smith-Schuster and Rodgers and some of his receivers to the NFL. He struggled a little bit at the beginning of the year this year, had a lot of turnovers, fumbling in the pocket. I'll tell you this. I think most people fall in love with Sam Darnold's personality. He's just one of those guys. He's like a guy's guy. He kind of fits in. He's fun. He says all the right things. But I'm just going to say this, and this is he's not even close to as good of a passer as Josh Rosen is. Now, maybe some of those other factors trump, his mobility, is leadership skills, you know, and again, those are, we're going to have to wait and see how that all evolves, you know, that it factor stuff that people talk about. But as far as a pure passer, if you really watch it objectively, and I know it probably sounds like I'm biased, but if you really pay attention, I don't even think it's that close as far as how they throw the ball. Now, Darnold is great on the run. You know, when he's moving, he's really good. But in the NFL, you have to be careful. You know, the guys that run around a lot don't always last that long. So, you know, he has to be smart. He has to be willing to, you know, if Darnold's going to move around, he's got to make sure he knows when to get rid of the ball and how to avoid some of those big hits.
Who do you think will be drafted? And well, let me ask it this way. Josh Rosen, with, you know, with his arm qualities, and as you say, he's a great passer, could he survive in an atmosphere like Buffalo with, you know, after the first November, you could get winds and snow? I mean, could he be a cold weather quarterback and have success in the NFL?
Yeah, you know what? That's a great question. You know, and I'm not going to lie to you guys. I grew up in Southern California. I played football in Southern California. And when we went up to Oregon and Washington State and had to play in snow and stuff, I'm not going to lie, I didn't like it. The ball was cold. It was hot. The grip on the ball wasn't as good. But, you know, most of these guys have to grasp the concept that if you're going to play in the NFL and you're going to be good, you know, you're going to have to play in weather at times. I mean, if you want to be a, you know, especially in the playoffs, right? I mean, you're going to have to deal with the elements. And so he'll figure it out. You know, all these guys know this. He wants to be great. And he has an advantage, again, like I said. You know, I don't know what he's going to measure at, but just watching the way his hands look on a football, he's got big old mitts. And so I don't think he'll have a problem with the conditions. I'm not going to say he's going to love it, but who really does love it? I mean, when you're playing in, you know, 0 degrees, it's I don't think it's fun for anybody.
Hey, I want to switch topics on you a little bit and just ask you about Chip Kelly out there, the new head football coach for UCLA. You guys haven't had that many, I guess, very good seasons in the last few years. I'm sure he's bringing some excitement to UCLA.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, we going back to Brett Hundley, who's now with Green Bay. UCLA had a couple of 10-win seasons, and then it kind of, once he left, it kind of all went south from there. And so it's been a struggle. And Chip Kelly's exciting. I mean, we know what he had. What, 4 amazing years at Oregon, where he was the head coach, and so it might take a little bit longer. When Chip Kelly took over for Mike Bellotti at Oregon, they were a 10-win team. So he took over a team that was winning, and UCLA struggled last year, and they made it to a bowl game, but just barely. And so there is talent, though, and he had a pretty good recruiting class. But I'm just excited. I love that type of offense. I know he's smart enough. And my favorite type of offensive coordinator isn't an offensive coordinator that has a system. It's a guy that knows football, and he's able to adjust whatever the system may be to the talent that is out there. And I think that's what excites me the most, because the best offensive minds I've been around don't just say, we do this. They adjust, and they're always looking to find ways to get better and find a way to attack a defense. And I think that's who Chip Kelly is.
I think and you talked about, he had a very good recruiting class. I mean, even when he was at Oregon, a lot of those kids were right from California, especially the L.A. area.
You know, I mean, you guys know this. I mean, there's certain hotbeds for recruiting, and Southern California is definitely one of them. What's really interesting to me is that the way he develops talent. When you think about Oregon and you look back at star ratings, and, you know, everybody has their opinions on those, but they weren't always 4 and 5 stars at Oregon. I mean, he was taking 3-star guys and turning them into amazing athletes. I mean, there's still, you know, Oregon players from that era are still, you know, all over the NFL. So, and not all of them were big-time recruits. Yeah, they landed some of them, but he's going to have an opportunity at UCLA, which is usually, even in the bad years, in the top 20 in recruiting, and he should be able to improve on that. To me, you know, it comes down to, you know, great coaches win. We see it all over the place, but you have to have the guys too. And if he can go out and get the guys that fits what he wants to do, I just think the sky's the limit.
Hey, Wayne, good luck to you. I hope you have a great year with the Bruins, and thanks for filling us in a little bit on Josh Rosen today. We appreciate it.
You guys, that was a lot of fun, and good luck to Buffalo in the draft.
Thanks.
Yep, thank you.
Right, that is Wayne Cook, former UCLA quarterback, played there 91 through 94, took him to the Rose Bowl in 1994, and he's on the sideline reporter on the UCLA radio broadcast. Wayne Cook joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, Subway Eat Fresh. He likes Josh Rosen a lot. I mean, you would think he would, but he kind of confirmed everything I thought I saw and have read and heard about Josh Rosen so far, is about what a great passer he is. He's a great passer. But the questions remain, you know, does he have the kind of arm strength you might need to play here on a regular basis in the winds of Orchard Park, number one? And number two, what is his personality, you know, and how does he handle setbacks and disappointment in the NFL? These are questions I think the Bills and other teams are going to need to get an answer on in the next couple of months, Donald. But certainly the way he throws the ball makes him worth the effort to try to get answers to those questions.
He obviously wasn't a fan of Darnold.
Right.
Coming from across the town at USC. But, yeah, Josh Rosen, I mean, when you watch him on film, you can see the arm talent. You can see him dropping dimes, you know, especially down the field. You see him making NFL throws. But it's always going to be a question when you're playing out there in California and you haven't played in a place like Buffalo or another cold weather city throughout the NFL. And even if you're playing in Miami, at some point you're going to have to come up to Buffalo and play, right? So all of these NFL teams that are looking at him are going to ask, that's something that they're looking at. His arm talent is one thing, but can you do the same thing? Can you really spin it through? And you, I mean, it's a good thing that he spins it. It's a good thing he doesn't throw ducks, like he was saying.
Yeah.
But can you do it in those types of conditions? The personality is something that they're really going to get a good feel for once they get to the combine. He said he's a little bit different, and it really just depends on what team is taking him. What is different to them? Okay, you know, do they feel like where you're a good enough leader? Maybe he's not the most outspoken type of guy, and it's really going to come down to that organization. I don't know if Coach McDermott and the Bills will like that or not. You know, they like leadership. And I think they would like leadership at the quarterback position. But they also know that leaders come in different ways. You know, some leaders are the more talkative ones. Other ones aren't.
They also know that these guys grow. You know, they get older. They're very young quarterbacks. And sometimes people get older and get a little bit smarter.
Right.
It's an interesting call. We talked about Darnold, how he is not going to throw at the combine. Adam Schefter tweeted this out. Prominent quarterbacks who did not throw at the combine include Derek Carr, Teddy Bridgewater, Johnny Manziel, Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin III, Ryan Tannehill, Brock Osweiler, Blaine Gabbert, Sam Bradford, Tim Tebow, Matthew Stafford, Matt Ryan, Jamarcus Russell, Brady Quinn. Those are the ones who did not throw at the combine. The fact that Bradford, the fact that Darnold is not going to throw at the combine, I don't know, is that a red flag or not? Some people think it is. Michael Lafferty tweets, and I don't get the issue with the quarterback not throwing at the combine. Quarterbacks that didn't throw, Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford, Andrew Luck, Derek Carr, you wouldn't want any of them because they skipped it? No, but those are the four of that list of recent quarterbacks who did not throw. Those are the four who, you know, made it in the NFL. The rest of them are kind of like guys, just guys in the NFL. I think you prefer to see the quarterback throw at the combine. That's all I'm saying. I don't think it's you immediately take him off your list and say, we can't draft him now. But I certainly think you would prefer to see your quarterback, your potential quarterback, throw at the combine. I really do.
I mean, we get paid to sit up here and talk trash. I mean, that's kind of what we do. NFL scouts and coaches, GMs, they get paid to evaluate these guys. And just because a guy's not throwing at the combine doesn't mean that they're going to move him down their draft board. Not at all. They're going to look at – the combine is a place where they get a good feel for those guys and they get the medical. The 40s and all of that stuff, that's important in certain positions. The quarterback position is not one of them. You know, so those measurables, all of those things is something that they're going to look at. But they really just want to get the medical and get a feel for the guy's personality. They go back and watch everything else on film.
Right.
We've seen this on film. We've seen this on film. If you perform here at the combine – or if you do it at your pro day, all that's going to do is reconfirm what we saw on film. So it's not a big deal that he's not going to throw here because they're going to see him throw at some point. Yep. They're going to see him throw at the pro day, and they might make him throw once he comes to a visit.
Yeah,
you know. So, I mean, the fact that he's not doing it there, whatever, he's going to do it at some point.
Hey, the Combine starts tomorrow. We will be there with our show tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. Donald Jones and I will be there noon to 3. The next 3 days this week. Our Twitter poll today, pretty basic, but we want to know from you about the Bills' moves this week. Vontae Davis agreeing on terms to a one-year contract with the Buffalo Bills, and the Bills brought in free agent running back Chris Ivory yesterday for a visit. Ivory visiting with the Cleveland Browns today. What do you think of those moves? Well, most of you like them. As a matter of fact, 96% of you say, yeah, you like the Bills' early approach to free agency. 4% say no. Give us your thoughts on that. Phone line's open, 803-0550. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. The Bills early approached with free agency 2 weeks away, the draft 2 months away. What do you think so far, and which way should they go? Lines are open. We'll talk with you about that when we come back. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. We've got open phone lines. If you have something about the Bills you'd like to discuss, now is your time. 803-0550 and outside Buffalo, toll free, 1-888-550-2550. John Murphy and Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio. Coming up in the 2 o'clock hour, Andrew Brandt, who covers the business side of the NFL. It's a good time to do that. But give us a call. Donald, a couple of things. You mentioned this top of last hour. Reports leaking out now as the league gets set to get together at the combine. It's not just about the players and the measurements. The league also has meetings. And you mentioned this top of the hour. The NFL might change the enforcement of defensive pass interference from a spot foul, where the defensive pass interference occurs, to a 15-yard penalty. The competition committee is offering up a plan to change the penalty for defensive pass interference to a 15-yard penalty, more in line with how the game is played in college football. It's interesting. Offenses would have less to gain by just chucking it up, trying to put it downfield, trying to draw a penalty. Defensive pass interference last year, 266 calls, according to Pro Football Reference, or more than once per game for an average of 18 yards per game, the third most frequent flag behind offensive holding and false start. The league also expected to increase illegal contact calls as an effort to limit the amount of hand fighting. Still looking at the targeting rule. Going to talk about that and emphasizing more ejections for fighting. But competition committee, made up of two owners, club presidents, GMs, head coaches, is putting together a plan, and this is interesting, changing a plan anyway, a proposal that has to be approved to make a pass interference call on defense a 15-yard penalty. You try to think of what would happen. One of the things that would happen late in the game, deep in your own territory, why wouldn't you? You know, if you're playing defense – and the other team's got 80 yards to go, why wouldn't you tackle the guy? Yeah, we'll give up 15 yards. Yeah. Go ahead and run another play. Clock runs down, run another play. Go ahead. We'll take 15 yards.
Right now, it's like, and I know as an offensive player, that the quarterbacks have it in their minds, the receivers have it in their minds. In a certain situation, let's just go for it. You know, I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen? We're not going to catch it, or they're going to catch an interception. You go for it, chances are you can get a pass interference. And the way the game is now, they're calling pass interference left and right.
Right.
You know, so you might as well make it a spot foul so that it's not just like a gimme. Because as a receiver, I know how to make it look like you just held me or interfered with my ability to catch the ball.
How would you do that?
It's just the way you jump back into a defender. You know, you jump back into them and make it look like – because for the most part, those guys are leaning on you. They either have their head back or they don't. If they don't have their head back, I'm definitely going to jump back into you and just act like I couldn't catch it. And they're going to throw the flag. If you do have your head back, you're still usually leaning into me because you need to be able to feel where I am as the receiver. And so if I just jump back into you and make it look like you interfere with me, you could get the flag that way as well, right? So quarterbacks know that, and quarterbacks will just take shots. Tom Brady is infamous for doing that, and they get those fouls, not just the Patriots, but all teams get those fouls, and it ends up at the 1 yard line where you were on like the 30, having to go 70 yards, and now you get the ball at the 1 because you just threw a Hail Mary down there, yeah. And it changes games. And so go ahead and make it a 15-yarder and force the team to have to still, even if you got that penalty, you still have to march the entire length of the field to score.
In your career, how many times do you think you bought
it? I got that?
Yeah.
Defensive pass interference. Two or three times in the NFL. Okay. I got it once on I'm about to say Marcus Peters because I'm watching – well, I was looking at the sting on him. But Patrick Peterson out in Arizona. We played out in Arizona.
Right.
And he was guarding me but not looking at the ball, and he just had his hands up. And so Fitz threw it short on purpose so that I had to actually go back through him to try to get it. And there was no way I can get back through him because he never turned his head around pass interference.
So it's not that hard?
No, it's not that hard at all. And if you get a quarterback who's good enough and smart enough, he'll throw it short. And he knows that, all right, you're not going to be able to get to this. You're going to have to go back through that guy, and they're going to throw a flag.
So what would you think about this if they changed it from a spot foul to a 15-yard penalty? I think good, but you think about what might happen, too, with some plays downfield.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at the negatives to it, but I think ultimately it just forces teams to have to still march down the field. You know, I mean, you could change the outcome of a game in one play if you just get a cheap pass interference call because you had a smart quarterback that knew how to throw the ball short and a smart receiver that knew how to really act it out and make it look like, oh, man, he just interfered with me. And these officials are flag happy, you know, and you don't want to change the game that way. You want to force a team to drive the length of the field. It just makes the game more exciting to me. I mean, how many times have you watched a game and you're like, it's a pass interference, they get the ball at like the five, and you're like, oh, game over now.
Right, yeah. All right, here's one, and all of this coming out from competition committee meetings that the league held yesterday. This will be discussed most likely again at the Combine this week and then eventually voted on. The league is discussing what constitutes a catch, and Judy Batista of NFL Media says one of the things being considered is eliminating the portion of the rule that calls for a player to retain possession while going to the ground for a play to be ruled a catch. Currently under the rule, the rule book says, quote, a player is considered to be going to the ground if he does not remain upright long enough to demonstrate that he's clearly a runner. And the league insists that a player needs to maintain control of the ball through initial contact with the ground, whether they've been contacted by a defensive player or not. In other words, surviving the ground, you know, going to the ground, maintaining possession. The competition committee talking about eliminating that going to the ground standard. I think I kind of like that.
I like it. I'm interested to see how in-depth that goes. You know, because if you go to the ground, you catch it, you go to the ground, and then the ball clearly, you're always going to have some negatives to something, right? And you'll have a play, and it's going to happen next year. If they eliminate this, you're going to have a guy who catches it, goes to the ground, and the ball clearly comes out. And because you eliminated the rule, it's going to be like, well, now we can't go back and overturn this, you know? So I'm interested to see how in-depth they go with that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I see what you mean. I think it would go a long way towards, you know, people, you know, every time there's a catch now and somebody goes to the ground, we are almost forced to look at it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Did he survive the ground? Did he, you know, did he maintain possession going to the ground? To take that away, I think, would be an effort to just make it easier to watch the game. You wouldn't have to worry about it. Did he have possession 2 feet down inbounds? Yes, catch. It's good. You don't have to worry about, did he go to the ground? Did he survive contact with the ground? I think that'd be good. I think that'd be really good. I like that, eliminating that as a standard to whether it's a catch or not.
Yeah, I mean, I like that they're doing it. I just want to know how in-depth that's going to be. And
what do you mean in-depth? What do you mean?
Maybe I'm not using the right words, but, I mean, if something like that does come up where the ball clearly comes out after a guy goes to the ground, how do you then call that?
Incomplete.
Yeah. I mean, what is clearly coming out? You know,
yeah.
There have been times where you're like, man, that ball barely moves. Then there's other times where a ball clearly moves and they won't call it. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how they do that throughout the course of the season.
These are only proposals coming out of the competition committee meeting yesterday. Judy Batista, NFL Network, says the committee is also looking at more ejections resulting from on-field fights. A targeting rule similar to college for hits to the head. I like that. And the possibility, I talked about the defensive pass interference. I like the targeting rule. I think it works well in college football.
I think it does, too.
And I would like to see that in the NFL.
Now, the issue will become, because they have a, targeting one and targeting two in college football.
Yeah.
So that's where the refs will have to determine, could you change your trajectory of, you know, your path in going in to make that hit? Or did you just intentionally go in there and try to kill him, lay him out? And that's going to be something that they'll play with back and forth. But I like that. Targeting, look, you hit somebody like that, you're ejected.
Yeah.
Typically, if you're ejected, you're not playing in the next game either. You know, so when you have something like that, it's a lot better than, oh, we're just going to fine you $15,000 or $25,000. You have guys that are making – they're making $300,000 a week. So that little fine, especially if it's in a big enough game, guys are like, all right, I'll pay that fine. you know. Mm-hmm. But now if you eject a guy, that changes his mindset because now it's like, oh, man, I just let my team down. And then if he can't play in the next week, it really he's let his team down. So you'll get guys to really change what they're doing out there.
A tweet on this, Go Bonnie's tweets in, my issue with changing the pass interference rule is that when a defensive back gets beaten deep or is outmatched, they can just go for the pass interference and give up 15 rather than a big play. Yeah.
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 It's still a 15-yard penalty.
Right, which is significant.
Yeah, that's significant. But I'd rather have that.
Deep,
yeah.
And you see the ball coming, and rather than give up a touchdown or, you know, why not? Just tackle the guy, give up 15 yards.
Just tackle him, give him 15 yards. But you still, as an offense, have to drive the entire length of the field. If you don't do that right now, like it's been, then it's just a gimme play, and you get a pass interference, and you get the ball on the 1 yard line. Then it's what, you know. I'd rather force the team to drive all the way.
A couple of other tweets, and this goes to the visit of Chris Ivory and the signing of Vontae Davis. Randy Kopsinski tweets in, like the Davis signing, but the trend of Whaley and now McDermott and Bean signing, trading for players on 1 year contracts while preaching continuity must stop. At least do 1 year with a team option and quit boxing yourself in the next year if the player excels. I get that, and I think that would be the optimum way. But, you know, you're dealing with guys who, you know, Vontae Davis had options, right? He had options. Most guys, and you know, E.J. Gaines, they got his contract when they got the trade, when they made the trade. That's why he was a one-year deal. But who knows if Vontae Davis wanted more than a one-year deal.
I mean, you got to look at this from two different – perspectives here. The player, number one, who might not want a multi-year deal. A player might want, you know what, I want to prove it. I want to prove it to myself. I want to prove it to the rest of the league and really try to cash in again and get another contract. And then you have the team side of this thing. And I always try to remind people, whether I'm on this show or if I'm out talking to somebody, this is a coach and GM that want to build this thing through the draft. All right? Free agency is not about signing players to really be the franchise guys moving forward. They're signing guys to help out at this moment because you need help, because you need depth, different things like that. They want to build this thing through the draft. They want to have their core guys come through the draft, just like they did down in Carolina. So you have to remember that when you're saying, man, they keep signing these guys on one-year deals. They're going to keep signing guys like that, and they're going to build their team, their starters, through the draft.
Which is why it's unlikely, I believe, they're going to trade a bunch of draft picks to move up to get a quarterback. Right.
I would think. That's how I look at it. I wouldn't be shocked, but I would be because I think they truly want to use all of that capital to build out the entire team.
We're going to take a break. We got time for you. If you have a comment or a question, the phone line's open, 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. The Bills signed Vontae Davis. They bring in the running back, Chris Ivory, for a visit as they get ready for free agency and the draft coming up in the next couple of months. What do you think of their early moves here to shore up the roster? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. It is the John Murphy Show. Donald Jones is here, coming to you live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
John Murphy and Donald Jones from our One Buffalo studio. Thanks for tuning in today, whether it's on the radio side, on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR, Sports Radio 550. Perhaps you're tuned in on the television side. Either way, you can give us a call. The lines are open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Talk about what do you think of the Bills' move so far, the signing of Vontae Davis. They brought in Chris Ivory for a visit. Maybe you want to talk about these rules changes coming out of the competition committee. A couple of proposals anyway. Defensive pass interference, no more spot foul, would be a 15-yard penalty. And the other one talking about going to the ground, eliminating that when it comes to the catch rule. A couple of tweets on these, Donald. We got a tweet from Boskid who said, changing defensive pass interference will all but eliminate the Hail Mary. Chris tweets in, I like the 15-yard penalty for defensive pass interference, but keep the spot foul when the interference is obvious and intentional. And Bernie Dennis tweets in, if I were a corner and the pass were over 15 yards, why wouldn't I just pound the receiver? I don't like the change. I like the tension built into the current approach. And one more, UTEP minor fan, with pass interference being a 15-yard penalty, defenders would just do a pass interference on a Hail Mary. Yeah, that would be – you'd have to, I think that through, right?
It's interesting because people are saying this. They don't just pound receivers in college football. I mean, guys aren't just tackling guys in college football. They're still going to play the game. Yeah. Now, there are certain situations that you might say, okay, well, all right, if it's a Hail Mary, I might as well just tackle him. But guess what? You're going to get a 15-yard penalty that's going to end up a little bit closer and give them another play, another opportunity to score, right? So, I mean, there's positives and negative ways that you can look at every play or every rule or whatever the case may be. I like it. I like the 15 yards because I feel like it forces you to have to drive the ball down the field.
Yeah. Although, you can. I don't know why it doesn't work like that in college. Why don't college teams do that?
I'm not sure.
You couldn't end a game that way, so you'd have to keep playing. That's part of it, right?
Right.
But the other thing is, you know, if you can get give up 15 yards as opposed to 50 yards, 70 yards, why wouldn't you do that?
Is it like, all right, so let's just say you got into a situation like that at the end of the game, and it's like, all right, we're going to throw a Hail Mary. Well, let's just tackle him. Okay, now you're going to give him another 15 yards. Well, then that offense is going to come back again and say, we're going to throw the ball down the field again. Well, let's just tackle him. You're going to give up another 15 yards. You're going to keep on giving up 15 yards until you eventually have to stop him, because if it's a penalty, you have to keep on playing. So I just think ultimately you're going to play the game out. There might be a situation where you say, let's just tackle him. I don't think that's something that you're going to see on a regular basis throughout the NFL.
I think, yeah.
Because you don't see it that much in college football.
I want to hear more about this. I'm intrigued by this. I am definitely intrigued by the opportunity to eliminate the spot foul and do a 15-yard penalty. There was discussion earlier today about, I think we were both looking for numbers on Vontae Davis' contract. Ian Rappaport with a tweet about 45 minutes ago. Vontae Davis and the Bills agreed to a one-year deal worth a $5 million base, according to sources, $3.5 million guaranteed. The most he can earn is $8 million. 1 year, $5 million base, $3.5 million guaranteed. The maximum he could earn, $8
million. Oh, he's going to start.
Yeah, yeah. And this gets it back to E.J. Gaines. We talked with Mike Jannetty of SpotTrack last week, right? You were here for that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was talking about E.J. Gaines being up for, what, $9 million a year?
Yeah.
Well, the most that Vontae Davis could get for 1 year would be $8 million with a one-year deal worth $5 million base, $3.5 guaranteed. So it would be more affordable than what E.J. Gaines is likely to get. And the Bills are most definitely have done a little research on that. What are people going to pay a corner? Yeah. And with Gaines also, you have this injury thing, right? You know, he played 11 games last year.
Yeah, you have the injuries with really both of these guys.
Yeah.
E.J. Gaines was good for you, but, yeah, he there were games where he got hurt and had to miss games, you know, and you can look at the record when he was in there, but there does come a certain point where you're like, we need you in there. We need you in there. We can't consistently, I mean, every other week have you down and now you got to be out another game or something like that. So, yeah, that's something that they looked at. I just think ultimately they want a solid corner out there who can lock down, but they don't want to have to pay a guy long-term $9 million a year right now, you know, because you know at some point Tre'Davious is going to want to get paid. Now, he has obviously another, 4 years left on his contract, but you don't want to get into paying these guys that type of money because you still need to fill holes up front. That is the most important part of their defense. They want to be able to get pressure with the guys up front. And Vontae Davis is a guy who can really play on the other side, and you only had to give him a $5 million in base, and the rest of it is probably all in incentives based on how he plays.
E.J. Gaines, 26 years old right now, so he's 4 years younger than Vontae Davis. Davis, you know, has had more production in his NFL career, a couple of Pro Bowl bids, and, you know, he's had more production. So what you're looking at is paying the E.J. Gaines, and E.J. Gaines missed 5 games last year, missed 5 games with the Rams a year before that. So when you look at all of these elements, availability and injury, what the guy's accomplished in his career, and the price, $8 million tops for Vontae Davis, and who knows, $9 million or more for E.J. Gaines, you can see why the Bills might do that. Yeah, why they would do this, I can see.
Why they would do it. And they've done their homework. They talk to other teams, organizations, to get a feel for their own free agents, guys that they might want to bring back. Hey, what would you pay this guy? You know, they're talking to other teams out there, and they're self-evaluating how much they would pay that guy. You know, if he was a free agent somewhere else trying to come in here, they might say, you know what, We can't pay that type of money for EJ Gaines. He's going to get paid $9 million a year. We don't want to get into that ballpark. We need to find somebody else that can come in here and play right away, who has proven that he could play in this league, so that it's not like a huge step back. And as long as Vontae Davis is healthy, I think you have a guy who's going to step right in and play well for you.
How much do you think the availability, the injury issues, how much do you think they factored into this from the Bills' standpoint? As you mentioned, Vontae Davis missed considerable time last year, mm-hmm. but has had his injuries, cleaned up with surgery last November. But, you know, this is part of the equation here too, right? Is we got one guy who missed five games last year with a variety of injuries, and another guy who missed more than that, but has already had the surgery.
Yeah, I think injuries really, really factored into this thing. But I think more, it's bigger than just the injuries. I think number one, you have other holes on the front end of the defense, but I even think on the back end, right? You need to figure out what's going to happen with Leonard Johnson, who I think is a guy you need to bring back, but you're going to have to pay him a couple million dollars, right? And then if not Sharice Wright, you're going to bring somebody else in here. You're probably going to draft one. Teams draft a corner almost every year. So it just depends on where you're going to draft that guy. So you have to factor in all of that money if you're bringing back Leonard Johnson. Because now if you can bring back Leonard Johnson for $3 million, and you have a base on Vontae as five, well, now you're paying both of those guys $8 million. You still would have paid EJ Gaines more than that each year, right? So I think it's the money side of this thing that really factors in as much as the injuries, but probably more than the injuries, because I think they want to be able to fit everybody in. And I just think that they're going to end up paying a front-end player a lot more money. And that could be linebacker, that could be defensive tackle, defensive end. I just think we're going to see a front-end guy on this defense get paid a little bit more.
A new guy,
yeah, a free agent. I think they're going to draft one, and I think they're going to bring a free agent in here, or a guy like Preston who could be a priority. We don't know yet who's going to get a big contract.
Interesting. When we come back in the third and final hour of the show, we're going to talk with Andrew Brandt, who covers the business of the NFL. Used to be with ESPN. Now he's with mmqb.si.com. Andrew Brandt coming up next hour. Come on back for that. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive on the eve of the Combine. The NFL Scouting Combine starts tomorrow in Indianapolis. We'll be there with the show starting tomorrow. Bills made a free agent signing yesterday. Cornerback Vontae Davis, formerly with the Indianapolis Colts, has signed a deal with the Bills. NFL.com says it's a one-year contract worth a base value of $5 million, $3.5 million guaranteed. Davis also met with the Browns, 49ers, Raiders, and Dolphins over the last week and a half. Two-time Pro Bowl selection Vontae Davis ranked 31st on the NFL's list of the top 100 free agents of 2018. He was eligible to sign because he was released last November by the Indianapolis Colts. The signing of Vontae Davis calls into question whether the Bills will re-sign veteran E.J. Gaines. They also have Sharice Wright and Leonard Johnson due to reach the free agent market over the next 2 weeks or so. Bills hosted free agent running back Chris Ivory, a visit to One Bills Drive yesterday. He was released a couple of days ago by Jacksonville, former Jet star with interest around the league, visiting with the Cleveland Browns today, and maybe more visits in the future for him. USC quarterback Sam Darnold has elected not to throw at the combine this week. He's decided to focus on athletic testing and interviews instead of throwing drills at the combine. He is fully healthy. He will throw at USC's Pro Day on March 21st. Teddy Bridgewater expects to be a free agent. NFL insider Ian Rappaport says Bridgewater will become a free agent. Minnesota will not assert their four-year toll deal with Teddy Bridgewater. Both parties involved are in agreement regarding his contract status. Buffalo Sabres hit the road for a game at Tampa Bay tomorrow night. Daniel O'Regan, the newest member of the Sabres organization, acquired in the trade with Evander Kane yesterday. The Sabres got O'Regan, conditional first and fourth round picks from San Jose for Evander Kane. And college basketball, big nights tonight for the Bonnies and the Bulls. The UB Bulls home against Akron, 7 o'clock at Alumni Arena, closing out the home portion of their schedule. With a win, they'd lock up the number one seed in the upcoming MAC tournament. And St. Bonaventure home against Davidson tonight at the Riley Center. The team's tied for second place in the A-10, the Bonnies' 10-game win streak. on the line tonight against Davidson. That is the update from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy, Donald Jones, and our One Buffalo studio will be in Indianapolis tomorrow, Radio Row, for the NFL Scouting Combine. A couple of days there, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We'll talk to all kinds of NFL people. It'll be
fun, Donald.
Everybody's
there.
Everybody's there. We got to be there.
Everybody's there. Yeah, we got to be there.
Yeah, we got to be there.
Yeah, I mean, I really just dread the drive. But once you get there, you're good.
Yeah, Indy's fine. The weather's going to be good, 55, 60 all week, I saw.
Now, you like, what is it, St. Elmo's out there? Steakhouse?
It's okay. I haven't been there in a while.
Oh, okay. Where did we go last year?
I forget. We went to the Italian place. Did you go? Iria's?
Iria's?
Yeah, did you go to that?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. We went
the
there
only
one
thing
night.
I remember, and I always say this,
yeah.
Was sitting in the restaurant with you and everybody else, and Michigan lost to Northwestern on a buzzer beater.
Yeah, that was bad.
That was a great night.
Champs, yeah. Well, it wasn't a great night. Michigan plays
yeah, was
Thursday
champs, yeah.
afternoon, so we won't have to worry about that.
Okay.
This year. Mm-hmm. Thursday afternoon is their game, and then Friday if they win. We're talking about the Bills, the moves they made, talking about the the talk coming out of the competition committee in Indy about changing defensive pass interference from a spot foul to a 15-yard penalty. Any of those issues up for discussion, give us a call. Here's Jim calling from Kendall, New York. Hello, Jim. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing? Love the show.
Thank you, Jim.
As often as I can. I enjoy hearing you guys dissect the NFL.
Oh, thank you.
I had a thought, just maybe food for thought a little bit more. In the last 2 minutes of a game on that pass interference penalty, what if they put time back on the clock the same way they take it off when there's an offensive penalty? That you could almost tie it to the farther away from the line of scrimmage it is, the more time would be put on the clock, like just 1 second per yard from the line of scrimmage, they would add time back for the offense.
Well, I'd think about that. I don't want to get too complex here.
Yeah.
You would add time, what, to discourage people from committing
from
pass interference?
Guys. Yeah. So if it's
in the last 2 minutes, the same as, you know, the way they run the 10 seconds off when there's an offensive
right.
Imagined real or, you know, fake penalty or something. But the same thing here where it would also help to deter the defensive backs from doing, you know, what you're talking about, just tackling the guy and taking the 15 yards because now you're giving them 15 yards plus –
plus more time.
Time.
Yeah, I think I definitely think about that. 10 seconds. Add another 10 seconds. 10 seconds will give you now another two plays,
you know,
if you run it the right way. I think I'd think about that.
I think about that. You know, all of these things have, first of all, the league doesn't want longer games. They want shorter games.
True. But at the same time, the league doesn't want guys just hack a shack out there. You know, that's they want for teams to play it clean. And so if you want to go ahead and cheat the system that way, then we're going to add time for the offense to be able to run more plays.
Right. I just think it might create a few unintended consequences if they do that.
I think
it might. Okay. Here is Ken calling from Buffalo. Hello, Ken. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
All right. In regards to this kind of a flip-flop on our defensive backs, it just kind of seems like we're getting a little bit older and bringing in somebody that finished off last year on injured reserve. In exchange, we're letting go somebody that might be a little bit more expensive that all reports were very happy with the way they performed. It's just, risk versus benefit. I don't see where all of a sudden you said, boy, we got better today. It's you hope that we get better. You know, I don't think that was an area that we said, hey, this was bad that we need to improve on. So,
Whatever.
I'll just let it go and see what you guys think.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting take right there, Ken, in Buffalo, because I've heard people say, well, you know, you got a different coach in there now. Now you're going to – from what it looks like to me, you're going to let E.J. Gaines go from a group that was probably the strongest group of your team. One of the biggest reasons why you were in the playoffs last year. I think when it comes to E.J. Gaines, they look at it and they say, and I firmly believe that they want to build the team through the draft. If you have a player who comes in here through free agency and he totally balls out, that is fine. But I think they want to build through the draft. and they want to they want to develop those players. And I think when it comes terms, when it comes time to put money into a certain position, I honestly feel like they value the front end of their defense more. And they always talk about, we want to be able to get pressure with our front four. We want to be able to have a very good front end of our defense. When you look back to how they were in Carolina, and Brandon Bean wasn't the GM, but he was the assistant GM, and Coach McDermott was the defensive coordinator. They allowed for Josh Norman to get out of there when Josh Norman was viewed as one of the best cornerbacks in the league at that time, and they said, we'll go ahead and just draft some. So they took a step back at that cornerback position, but they made sure that they paid their guys up front. Defensive line and linebackers, they made sure that they had some of the best players in the league on the front end of their defense, and that's how I think they want to build this thing out as well.
That's kind of what you'd like to know, and this would be a good question tomorrow when we talk to the general manager, Brandon Bean. Where do you put value? I mean, do you value front seven more than you do backup, back defensive backs?
Yeah.
You know, you've got a rookie corner or going into a second-year corner who played very well. So what does he need on the other side? How much do you want to invest on the other side from him? The numbers on Vontae Davis are, what, $5 million approximately, with the most $8 million, $3.5 million guaranteed?
Yeah, it's a $5 million base.
Yeah, which is, a little bit more than half as much as it was likely E.J. Gaines was going to get. That's not insignificant.
Insignificant. And I'm telling you, I think they're going to draft one high. I mean, with so many draft picks, I think they're going to draft a corner pretty high in this draft. Whether that's first, second, third round, not sure yet. But I think they're going to draft one, and they will want to develop that kid into a starter in this league.
Interesting how they put it together. We'll try to get some answers from Brandon Bean about that tomorrow. Here's Dale calling from Corfu, New York. Go ahead, Dale. You're on the air with us.
Hey, how are you today, guys?
Outstanding, Dale. Thank you.
All right, I got a few points I wanted to bring up. First of all, I love the Vontae Davis signing. I think on all successful playoff teams, you see, those value players. And I think that's the only way to succeed in this league. So I love it. Secondly, Darnold. I mean, I'm curious to know why he's not throwing at the combine. For me, if I'm going to take a quarterback, I want them to be able to throw, have the confidence, maybe arrogance, in order to be confident to show that they're willing or they're worthy of a first-round pick, a first overall pick. And third, Murph, that cough, you've had it for a few weeks. You got to take care of it.
Okay. Listen. Any ideas? I'm looking for ideas. I've taken every kind of medication available. I sleep a lot trying to get rid of the cough. Any ideas?
Any ideas? Did he hang up?
I guess he hung up.
No, he didn't have any
ideas. I'm open for ideas. I've tried everything.
I have nothing for
you. Now I'm going to cough again. There. It is getting better, right?
I think it's definitely better than when I was here last week.
Yes.
But, no, he talked about Darnold in the beginning of that and not throwing. And I don't think it changes the team's outlook. It changes a little bit my outlook, because you're choosing not to throw. It has nothing to do with injury or anything like that. Everybody else at the combine, unless they're injured, they perform at the combine for the most part. You know, if you're a wide receiver, now you'll have some guys that say, oh, I'm not going to run my 40 because I had a leg injury or something like that. But typically those guys don't just back out because I just don't want to run it. I'm not ready yet. And you're a quarterback, you get paid to throw a ball. That's just what it is. And when you decide – and you've been throwing football since forever, since you were 5, 6, 7 years old. And at the combine, all it is pitch and catch. And for you to decide, I just don't want to do it. For me, it changes my outlook. But I still think he's going to go high. He's still going to be the number one or number two pick overall.
Yeah, it won't impact his draft status at all. No. Mm-hmm. Here's Carl calling from Clarence. Go ahead, Carl. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Okay.
Good.
My question is, no matter who we bring in at quarterback, excuse me, how good could anybody be until we shore up this offensive line? And, Murph, before I hang up, this is a holistic cure, and it's worked for many people over the years. They've had coughs for months. They can't shake it. Vicks Vapor Rub on the bottom of your feet before you go to bed.
Oof.
Put your socks on.
Oof.
Don't grease up the sheets. The worst that can happen is nothing.
Man.
Okay. I don't know if I'm going to try it, but it's an interesting. Why not just put it on your chest?
Yeah, right? I mean, why not on your chest? Put it right
why
on,
put
the
it
feet?
On your feet.
They say something like you can pull the toxins out of your feet and things like that. But
okay.
I don't know. Vicks is I mean, it's nasty. I haven't had that stuff since I was young, like a kid. My mom used to put it on me, and I hated it at night too. Yeah. You know, she used to put it on. I hated
it. Maybe I ought to get some. I'll try anything. His point about
you gonna have everybody calling in. With suggestions.
Do a whole
now.
Show on it. Carl's point about what was it about?
I forgot. I got off on a tangent.
I had it. Yeah, I know he's got me on my cough now. His first point was a decent one. At least it bears some discussion. Oh, no quarterback will be good with this offensive line. Well, I don't think the Bills' offensive line is great, but I don't think I think they're somewhere in the middle of the league. They certainly are pretty good at run blocking and do a decent job at pass protection, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think they do a decent job. Now, I think you also have to take into account that, you know, Tyrod Taylor and his style of play, he gets the ball out the slowest, I think, out of any quarterback in the league in his style of play. You know, he holds the ball a little bit longer just because of he likes to move around and make plays like that. So I don't know if that makes it a little bit harder on the offensive line or what the case may be. But there have been times where they've given up some sacks. But I think I wouldn't say they're a bad offensive line. I got this tweet in that said, do you feel like our offensive line is good enough going into a new year? No matter what quarterback we bring in, do you feel like this offensive line is good enough to be for that quarterback to feel safe back there?
I do.
I think it's –
I think they're okay. Yeah.
I think they're okay. I don't know if – I can't see them making many big changes or splash changes. Like, people have the Bills drafting a center or guard. I just don't – in the first round, I don't see that happening.
No. I mean, they have their center in Ryan Groy. They have enough candidates anyway to fill in the rest of the spots, including right tackle and – you know, I think you found a way to live with Vlad Dukas last year. No, I don't think they need to, you know, rebuild the offensive line right now. Maybe pick up a draft pick here or there, you know, plug them in, see if they can play. But I don't think they want to use early picks on offensive line.
On offensive line, I think the defensive side of the ball, especially the front end and the back end of the defense, is where they really want to get some depth, number one, and add some talent. And I think that's what they want to build throughout the course of the draft. They might draft an offensive line. I just don't see it happening in the first round.
Right.
Maybe one of those 2 second-round picks.
Edric calling from New Jersey. Hello, Edric. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Okay.
All right,
good, man. It's good to hear you getting better, John.
Thank you, Edric. I am getting better, believe it or not.
you know, what I want to talk about, because I hadn't had a chance to talk to you guys about it, the whole Kirk Cousins situation. If I'm Terry Pegula, I'm going to sit down with the people that I trust that know football in my organization, and I'm going to ask them, you guys got to sell me on why I shouldn't put my money and get this guy, Kirk Cousins, who's a clear upgrade at the quarterback position. Then I want you to sell me on why we should, because as football guys, you should do the due diligence and know, you know, the pros and cons of Kirk Cousins. A quarterback like Kirk Cousins doesn't come around very often. And I don't want to be the guy, the owner. I'm talking as an owner here. I don't want to be the owner who passed up on this guy, who didn't even bring him in on a visit, who didn't even make him an offer, just because I thought $30 million or $25 million a year was too much. You know, Donald, you always ask, you know, why are the Redskins letting him walk out the building? Teams do a lot of stupid things. They sign guys they shouldn't. They let go of guys that shouldn't. They replaced him with the same guy, you know, and paid him a tons load of money. You know, they could have had this kid on the contract 2 years ago, and they didn't. So, I mean, you know, I can't go by that, you know, why they're letting him out the building thing. It's hard, man. I mean, I would hate to miss out on someone just because we don't want to spend that money. And then what I see as a bigger plus, you know, we have all this ammunition in the draft that we can use. And although we'll have $30 million tied up on Kirk Cousins, you know, we're going to be able to bring in a pass rusher or a defensive end, a wide receiver in this year's draft and next year's draft, who we'll have for 4 to 5 years, you know. Am I against moving up and getting Josh Rosen? I'm not against it. I mean, I would love it. If you're sold that he's the answer, if you're sold on that, you know, I'm all for it.
All right. Hey, Edric, thanks. That's an interesting concept. I want to ask our guest about it. He's joining us right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. writes about NFL business for the website, the MMQB, and for The Athletic. We're happy to have Andrew Brandt on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with us. Andrew, John Murphy and Donald here in Buffalo. How are you this afternoon?
Hey, guys. Always good to be with you. I heard the caller talk about Cousins. I think I'm the only person alive that thinks there may not be the market that people think there is for Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. You have a post that went up on MMQB about a week ago. Think Kirk Cousins is primed to sign a huge contract? Think again. Why do you think he might not get the kind of money that people anticipate?
Well, first of all, like your caller said, on the good side, this is a rare, rare thing to have a quarterback in his prime on the free agent market. I'm not sure we can even come up with one. Peyton Manning was a bit past his prime. So on a theoretical sense, this is the person that should cash in the most, maybe in the history of football. Now you drill down and get to reality. The reality is quarterbacks don't have a lot of teams interested in them because everyone's got a quarterback. So I counted off quickly 25 to 27 teams that are out of the picture. So that leaves his bidding market 5 or 7 teams. You talk about Cleveland and Buffalo and Arizona and the Jets.
Denver.
And Denver. So that's about it.
Now too?
Yeah, that's about it. So first of all, you're limited to that. Now, who knows how many of those teams want them anyway or don't even like them. But I think the real problem is what you're starting to talk about is the draft. I mean, Cleveland, unless things go way off the rails, they're taking a quarterback number one. So are they going to spend 20-something million a year on a free agent that's going to be replaced by the number one pick maybe within a month, maybe within a year, at the most within a year and a half, I would think. So that's a no. Maybe the Jets have their eye on a first-rounder. Maybe the Broncos have their eye on a first-rounder. And, yeah, there are all rumors that the Bills have their eye on a first-rounder. So that leads me to believe that Kirk Cousins may be down to negotiating with one or two teams instead of 5 or 6 or 10, which is really going to limit his market.
When you look at Kirk Cousins and you talk about the draft and teams that will end up, especially Cleveland, I would think that Kirk Cousins would look at Cleveland and say, I don't think I want to go to Cleveland. I would think he would probably only, and I could be totally wrong, there might be 3 teams that he would truly want to go to because they're in position to win right now, and that would be Arizona, Denver, and Minnesota.
Yeah, and I would think those are the 3 teams of the 6 or 7 that would pay the least, simply because that's been their history. And they have cap issues, at least Arizona does. So we have to assume in any conversation you're talking about that they even like Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. And I think there's mixed opinion. You know, I think your caller, as I was coming on, he said something there about Washington. Look what just happened. They've had that guy 6 years, and they traded him in for an older model. And listen, I'm not the football evaluator guy. You get plenty of those on the air, I'm sure, that can tell you the pluses and minuses of Kirk Cousins versus Alex Smith. The fact is, the Redskins chose Alex Smith over the guy they knew that they could, the money, but they could have franchised him again, transitioned him again, worked something out while they transitioned him. I just, you know, if I'm interested in Kirk Cousins, my first call is Jay Gruden. And you need a serious conversation there about why did you trade him in for Alex Smith, who's 6 years older.
Hey, Andrew, when you were in Green Bay, you guys were in a little bit different situation with Brett and then Aaron Rodgers. But how hard is it for these NFL front offices and the teams that we're talking about to make a decision like this when you have a Kirk Cousins and you don't understand truly why they let him get out and they traded for an older model, but he has produced and put up 4,000 yards. You've seen him in an NFL offense, all of that stuff, versus just going with one of these draft picks. How hard is it to make these decisions?
Well, it's hard. I mean, listen, we haven't even talked about the idea of sitting players too. You know, our Aaron Rodgers situation, someone could prove me wrong. I'm going to make this statement right now.
that will be the last. Aaron Rodgers will be the last first-round quarterback in the history of football, in my opinion, to sit for 3 years. I don't think that will ever come close to happening again. We had unique circumstances of a franchise quarterback. Now, I suppose, you know, a Tom Brady wouldn't even be accurate because he's 40, but or Drew Brees, but I guess pick a name. I suppose if the Detroit Lions drafted a first-round quarterback, it could happen there. Or if the Colts drafted a first-round quarterback, it could potentially happen there. But it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So you know what's going on now. Look at what happened with the Bears. I mean, they signed Mike Glennon for $18 a year and then took one in the second pick in the draft, and that lasted four games. They paid Mike Glennon $20 million for four games before he turned the keys over. That's what's going to happen now. I mean, whether it's Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, there is no way these guys are going to sit. And it's not the money. The money was bigger in the past. It's just get them in there. You know, it's like, why do we take them number one? Get them in there. And if Kirk Cousins signs with one of these teams that then drafts a first-round quarterback, I feel for Kirk Cousins, no matter what he's paid.
Is that?
Because the first interception in the preseason, like, get him in there.
Andrew, is that pressure from the owner, pressure from the fan base that is forcing these coaches, let's get him in there?
I think it's pressure from general manager. You know, first-round picks are gold. And they're more gold than ever because they're cheap and you can build your team. And what we've seen is it's happened with not only the top guys like Winston and Mariota and Goff and Wentz and Trubisky and Watson, but even the down-the-road guys like Russell Wilson. Get them in there. Or Derek Carr, just get them in there. And that's, you know, the NFL is very trendy. That's what the new thing is.
We're on the line with Andrew Brandt, covers the NFL's business side, columnist for mmqb.si.com and for The Athletic. Hey, Andrew, from your tenure with Green Bay, this came up today, and you've already tweeted out, you know, the competition committee talking about limiting defensive pass interference penalties to 15 yards at most. You point out that that's been discussed in the past among NFL owners, huh?
Yeah, what happens, for people who don't know, the competition committee is meeting now.
Yeah.
And they get their recommendations together for the full ownership meeting in mid-March. And that's when, you know, we would go to some swanky place in Florida or Arizona. And they'd roll in there with the competition committee, and the competition committee would basically have their recommendation, and everyone would say, well, okay, whatever they think. And I remember hearing this at least 2 years. Changing a defensive PI to 15 yards. And it was always voted down. And I think 1 year it was Rich McKay presenting, 1 year it was Jeff Fisher presenting, that basically said, we don't want DBs mugging our guys, mugging our receivers when the ball looks like it might be caught or it might have a chance. Always the same reason. And I'm sure people listening can say, nod their heads and say, yeah, you probably don't want that, but we hate the penalty. Yeah, I don't know what the in-between is. It was clear that that would be a strategic coaching decision on a 50-yard pass. You see that ball coming, you mug the receiver. Mug him. And based on past history, I would think it gets voted down.
What about the commissioner made a point at the Super Bowl about fixing the catch rule, and there's some noise coming out of the competition committee meetings this week about possible changes in the catch rule. Do you think right. they'll make any progress on this in the months ahead?
I do. It sounded like there were a couple tweets today about, you know, taking the to the ground out of it.
Right.
So, yeah, the commissioner was pretty clear, I thought. And when he's clear, things get done to the committees below him, which is fix that. And when he means fix that, he means make it more catches. You know, we're listen, it's an entertainment product. People like catches more than they like incompletions. So when he says fix it, he's saying make the rule, have more catches. And I think we're going to see that.
Hey, Andrew, what's it like in these competition committee meetings, owners' meetings, when they're trying to go over these different rules and they end up voting some down? Like you said, you had some coaches that were like, we don't want these guys mugging our receivers. You might have other coaches that are like, no, we need this rule because of something that has happened in their game. I mean, how heated does it get in the room when they're trying to really confirm or deny one of these rules?
Yeah, that's why they have it in February, because the heat of the season, imagine if that happened every week, because people go nuts. It is always that play of the week that we break down on ESPN and everyone rails about. So they have it kind of in the detached, unemotional state of this time of year. You're right, it does bring up the issues of the year that were happening, and this is clearly the one this year. You know, I think the competition committee has tried to have its makeup be very diverse. I'm not talking about racially. I'm talking about job-wise. You have some head coaches. You have some owners like John Mara. You have administrators like Rich McKay. Ozzie Newsom's on there. And the coaches, I'm not sure who's exact there now, but I know Marvin Lewis is one, to sort of bring that aspect to it. But I do, like I said before, when they go to the membership, when they go to the owner's first question is, here's the rule change. Do you guys recommend it or not? And if they do, it usually passes, especially if it's like 7-1 or 8-0 of the committee.
Andrew, this came out today. The league is going to try to get $2 million from Cowboys owner Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Reimbursement for legal fees that came about a couple of months ago with the Ezekiel Elliott suspension and Jerry Jones litigation over Roger Goodell's contract. Is there precedence for this in recent NFL history? How unusual is that for the league to try to recoup $2 million from one of the owners?
No, I never heard anything like it. You know, it, the first report was kind of a conduct detrimental. The second report is more legal fees.
Right.
It's basically my reaction, as I tweeted this morning, was number one, that contract for Goodell, that must be signed now because he's exerting some power. He's got a signed deal for the next 5-7 years. Number two, if these are legal fees, I don't know what these lawyers are charging. We're talking about millions of dollars for a matter that seemed pretty finite. You know, whether he could challenge Roger Goodell and go after him. The other point that people should know about everything Goodell does, it's not just him, and it's maybe not even him. It's the other owners. So I'm sure they're coming to him and say, yeah, go after Jerry, because he made us all look bad.
Yeah.
So people don't realize that. And even Robert Kraft and Tom Brady and, you know, people are behind the commissioner in these things.
I have one more question for you, Andrew, and that's with, you know, the Buffalo Bills have conducted some business this week. They signed the corner Vontae Davis, who was out there, didn't have to wait for free agency. They hosted the running back Chris Ivory. Your thoughts on this? We are not in free agency yet, but the Buffalo Bills seem to be kind of working around a couple of different avenues here to get ready for the real moves they want to make. I mean, how do you view signings this time of year, 2 weeks before free agency actually opens up?
Yeah, I like it. I like it because I think that these guys are on the market right away. They don't have to wait till March 14th. And you might as well try to get in while everyone's focused on who's going to be out there March 14th.
Yeah.
The key is the deals. I don't know what kind of deals they made in terms of what these guys had. The Davis deal, $5 million up to $8 million. Sounds like a decent deal. For both sides. And, you know, as you know, the Bills have a lot of draft capital. So they can be deliberate with free agency and just jump on who they want and then hold up for the draft. So I think they're in good spot.
Andrew, thanks for this. We hope to talk again soon. Thank you very much.
We will, guys. Thanks.
Andrew Brandt, weekly columnist for MMQB.SI.com, the host of the Business of Sports podcast, director of the Morad Center for Sports Business at Villanova. He joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, Subway Eat Fresh. We'll talk about what Andrew said and get into some NFL true or false when we come back. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back, John Murphy. Donald Jones on our way to the Combine in Indianapolis. As soon as we're finished here in Orchard Park today, we'll be there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday with shows 12 noon to 3 p.m. We're going to be busy out there, Donald. I hope you're ready for it.
I'm ready. It's my second time around.
Yeah, it's not your first rodeo, not your first Combine. Nah. Our thanks to Andrew Brandt for joining us, really the foremost expert on NFL business. And interesting thoughts. He is he is in the kind of the, you know, for him to say he doesn't know, and he wrote about it a week ago, doesn't know that Kirk Cousins will get a ton of money. That's interesting. I think everybody else is coming out the other way saying, oh, Kirk Cousins is going to break the bank here. Andrew Brandt says, look out, might not be that many teams really interested.
And that's an interesting take on it. I think he'll end up getting paid. Even the team, first of all, you know there are going to be some teams interested. I think number one will be, or number one and two, or 1 and 1A will be Minnesota and Denver.
Yeah,
and then I think right behind them will be the Jets.
The Jets,
because those three teams have had no luck. Well, at least the Broncos and the Jets have not had any luck in drafting quarterbacks in the last however many years that they've tried to draft these quarterbacks. John Elway, who's GM, president, or whatever he is of football operations out there in Denver,
he's the man.
Quarterback himself, Hall of Famer, just has not had luck with drafting these guys. He brought in Peyton Manning, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl, even though Peyton Manning he was a shell of himself at that point. I think they will really get into the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes and pay him what he wants, because I feel like they feel like their window is closing out there. They have a defense that still can get it done. They have a solid running game. They haven't had a quarterback that can hold it all together out there. And so you look at it that way. And then you look at the Jets, they've had no luck in drafting these guys. Minnesota was interesting that they're letting all of those guys walk now, it seems like.
Yeah.
And so because of that, you have to think those three teams are the teams that are really going to get into it. And they're going to have a bidding war. I think he's still going to get paid, at least what Garoppolo got paid. I just think it's the way the market works. He's going to get at least $1 million more, or he's going to ask for – you got to give me at least $500,000 more a year than what Garoppolo got paid.
Yeah, I think he's
truly
be fine.
Proven it.
Cousins
is
going to make a ton of money. He's going to have at least a couple of teams trying to bid against each other for his services. We'll
I don't
see.
Think the Bills are getting into it.
I don't either. I don't think so.
We had the caller say, "Why not get into it?" I just don't see them getting into that war at all.
Right. So thanks to Andrew Brandt, who joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. All right, time now for our little segment we like to call NFL True and False. It is brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. Items that are out there in the media, Donald and I talk about whether we believe it or not. NFL, true or false? Part one today on NFL, true or false. The salary cap increase anticipated, and that'll probably come out this week, shows that the NFL is not in trouble with television ratings. True, false? I say true. The cap was 168 million last year, I believe, right? $168 million. It's going to be close to $180 million this year, up about $11 million, maybe $179, $180. You know why? Because they're making money on TV. Ratings are going down, yes, but they're still making money on TV. It is still the most popular television show, NFL football. The salary cap increase shows the league is not in trouble with ratings. I say that's true. Donald?
I'm going to go true. I think people talk about, the ratings are going down, the ratings are going down. The ratings are going down across TV, period, because people are doing different things. They're taking in TV a little bit differently now, so many different things on the internet. And the NFL will find a way to capitalize on that, and everything will be fine. But I think ultimately the NFL is fine in terms of people still watching this game on TV. I mean, and you look at across TV, I mean, you look at freaking Comcast just bid like $31 billion a day on Sky TV out in Europe. So it shows you that these networks are paying big money to still for TV, you know, regardless of it's just the NFL. But across the land, people are still watching TV. So I think the NFL is fine because the NFL here in America is the number one show.
Right. We both think that's true. All right, NFL true or false, part two. Russell Wilson, Seattle Seahawks quarterback, the NFL's most underrated quarterback. This was put together in a piece written on Bleacher Report. I believe it's Bleacher Report. No, I'm sorry, SB Nation, where they talked about Russell Wilson this past year. 34 touchdown passes led the league. Number one in passing and rushing touchdown. Number one in fourth quarter touchdown passes. Number one in percentage of offense accounted for. Russell Wilson, some people thought he was MVP. Brady, obviously, was the number one choice. But is Russell Wilson the most underrated quarterback in the NFL? True, false? What do you think, Donald?
I'm going to go true on that one. I think when people look at top 10 quarterbacks, they'll obviously name the Bradys and Brees and Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger. And some people will say, well, Russell Wilson is right on the fringe of being a top 10 quarterback. And I think he is surely a top 10 quarterback in this league. He's proven it. When he first came in, he's a mobile quarterback, so you look at him differently, but I think that he's proven that he can throw from within the pocket. He did it last year when he was injured, and he's done a lot with a lot less. You can't look out there and say, well, they have this superstar wide receiver or anything like that. You know, you couldn't even look out there and say that they had a superstar running back this year. It was Russell Wilson making plays for them. So, yeah, I think he's the most underrated QB in the league right now.
I go with that, too. Yes, true. I think it is true. He is most underrated. He's very good. And you know what? He's gotten better now in 6 years. He's a much different passer now, much plays the game much differently now than he did when he first came into the league. And, yeah, I think it's kind of – maybe it's because it's Seattle, it's West Coast, but I do think that's lost on people. I think he is the most underrated quarterback. Finally, NFL true or false, the Vikings should make a strong push for Kirk Cousins. You know what's going on here. Case Keenum – it's not going to get the franchise tag. They're going to let they've decided not to fight Teddy Bridgewater. It looks like they're going to let Sam Bradford go too. So what? Now the Vikings are going to make a strong push for Kirk Cousins. NFL, true, false? What do you want to say on that?
I think they should now. I mean, you're letting everybody walk. You need to make a strong push for Kirk Cousins. Unless you feel like you're going to just draft one, but you're that one piece away now from being a Super Bowl team. I mean, you should have been in the Super Bowl this past year. You got smacked in the NFC Championship game by the Eagles. So you need to make sure that you have a solid quarterback. And now that you let your guys go, you need to make a strong push for Kirk Cousins. So true.
All right, I'm going to say true also. My friend Paul Allen, who covers – he's the play-by-play man for the Minnesota Vikings and is on a radio station in Minneapolis, said this week that the Vikings are, quote, number one with a bullet on Cousins' rudimentary wish list. So not just the Vikings going to make a strong push for Kirk Cousins. It sounds like Cousins likes what he sees in Minnesota, mm-hmm. likes what they did last year, likes the defense they have. I think that is – I think now with the knowledge that it won't be Bridgewater, it won't be Keenum, and it won't be Bradford, I do think things have opened up in Minnesota for Kirk Cousins, and it's very likely that they'll make a strong push for Kirk Cousins with their primary competition coming from, as you said earlier, Donald, I think the Denver Broncos – I don't know about the Jets. Who else? Who else can make a strong push for Cousins?
I think just those two, Denver and the Jets, because they have the money. I don't think he would look at Cleveland at all, just because of their history with quarterbacks. And you, just like Andrew said, you have to believe that they're going to draft one number one or number five overall. One of those two picks, they're going to take a quarterback. So why would he do that? He wants to go somewhere where they feel like, you know what, we get our guy in Kirk Cousins, and we can just continue to build out the rest of this team with the rest of our draft picks.
NFL True or False, it is brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. A few minutes to finish up. We've got time for your phone calls at 803-0550 and toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
Good question. What have we learned? It's presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had Wayne Cook on the line with us early in the show. He's a former UCLA quarterback. He is now the sideline reporter on the UCLA Radio Football Network. We asked Wayne Cook about Josh Rosen, UCLA quarterback, scheduled to be in the first round coming out of the draft this year. We asked him if Rosen is, in fact, the best quarterback prospect in this year's draft.
Physically, absolutely. I think that just the way he throws the ball is, you know, as a former QB, guys, I don't often watch a guy throw and just go, wow, that's awesome. There's, you know, the Aaron Rodgers of the world that sometimes throws a ball where you just go, man, that's a great throw. Remember in the old days, Warren Moon, the way he used to spin it was just like, wow. You know, not a lot of guys can spin it like that. Josh rarely throws a duck. I mean, he's got big old mitts. He's great in the pocket. He's got good feet, and he's learning.
Wayne Cook, former UCLA quarterback, UCLA quarterback Josh Rosen. We talked about quarterbacks with Andrew Brandt, too, from the MMQB. He is the NFL business editor there. Andrew Brandt had some thoughts on Kirk Cousins, free agent quarterback coming out from the Washington Redskins. Brandt's not sure that Cousins is going to break the bank when it comes to getting a new contract with the rest of the NFL. Here's what he said.
The reality is quarterbacks don't have a lot of teams interested in them because everyone's got a quarterback. So I counted off quickly 25 to 27 teams that are out of the picture. So that leaves his bidding market five or seven teams. You talk about Cleveland and Buffalo and Arizona and the Jets.
Denver.
And Denver. So that's about it.
Too?
Yeah, that's about it. So, first of all, you're limited to that. Now, who knows how many of those teams want them anyway or don't even like them. But I think the real problem is what you're starting to talk about is the draft.
Problem is the draft, or maybe the solution is the draft. I don't know. We're going to talk about that. Our Twitter poll today, the Bills have acted this week signing cornerback Vontae Davis. They had veteran running back Chris Ivory in yesterday. Ivory has moved on to Cleveland today just for a visit. But do you like the team's early approach to free agency? Overwhelmingly, you do so far. 96% of you say, yeah, like it. 4% say, no thanks, I don't like what they're doing. Most people like it. What's not to like, right, Donald? I mean, they're being active. They're thinking outside the box, not waiting for 2 weeks for free agency, and being aggressive, signing a corner, Vontae Davis, who, if the reports are true, what did we say, $5 million base salary could go up to $8 million, $3.5 million guaranteed, one-year deal. I think you can live with that, right? It's cheaper than what you would have to pay E.J. Gaines.
It's cheaper than what you have to pay E.J. Gaines, number one. My buddy, or our buddy, Lorenzo Alexander, actually sent me a message and said, look, Vontae is a pro and can teach Trey, which is some of his biggest value. Because, yeah, he's going to play on the other side, I would think, but he's going to teach Tre'Davious White. He's been to Pro Bowls. He's been in this league a long enough time now to really help out Tre'Davious White. And ultimately, if you were to let Vontae Davis hit the market, he might have got a little bit more money. Mm-hmm. You know, so for me, it's smart to get in on these guys before they hit free agency. Because once they hit free agency, you don't know what the bidding war truly becomes at that point, because teams are going to – they might offer him a little bit more money than you were trying to really get. So you lock him up before he gets a chance.
Wonder if there's anybody else, you know, any other from now until 2 weeks from now, March 14th when free agency opens. I can't think of anybody else who's out there. Chris Ivory, one of them. They had him in yesterday. But there's got to be a couple of others who might be, you know, on the Bills list, guys, to take a look at over the next 2 weeks before the free agent market opens.
I mean, I look at guys like Charles Johnson, who's a little bit older, I guess, but was down in Carolina, down there, who was released by the Panthers. You know, guys like that who were released by their teams are guys, and I don't have a list, obviously, in front of me, but I would think that there are some guys out there that they would say, okay, well, we can try to get on in that sweepstakes right now before they even get a chance to hit free agency.
Yeah. Well, they're being pretty aggressive here.
I like it.
Yeah, me too, doing this 2 weeks before free agency opens up. And here's an interesting tweet. Sam can't stop, won't stop tweets. And I feel like confidence has grown in the organization as well as with players throughout the league, meaning we are making more direct moves instead of standing by. Plus, players want to play for Buffalo. Vontae Davis wanted to play here. It's clear that he did.
I think the fact that they went to the playoffs last year was one thing. But I think players around the league who are free agents now can look at Buffalo and say, okay, they have a plan. They have something going there. And there was a long time where – I don't know if you could say that about this organization, you know, just because you were moving coaches every 2 years, every 3 years. And so now they're looking at it saying, okay, you have a coach and a GM that is there. They've been to the Super Bowl. They understand what it feels like, tastes like, smells like. They just went to the playoffs. I can go there and help that team continuously be good or continue to grow. And so because of that, it just seems like a more attractive place to go to.
Hey, we are on the road today. As soon as we wrap up here, we're going to hit the car and drive down the thruway and head to Indianapolis, Indiana. Donald.
Yeah.
Combine coverage.
Yeah.
You ready for that?
No.
No. The drive will be fine. It'll go quick. Live at the Combine starting tomorrow, noon to 3, tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. I want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistance from J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rood, our producer, Jay Harris. When we see you tomorrow at noon, we'll be talking to you from the Combine, the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Make sure you tune in for that. The John Murphy Show from Indianapolis, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.